Yeah.
That's only get what? Oh, yeah.
I knew the switch was a bad idea.
Like, he can just keep going.
Hello! Wait, were we live?
We are. We've been live for like the last minute.
I know, I was joking. Obviously, I was paying attention.
Hey, this basement is really cold. It's really cold.
Can't see my breath.
No.
I regret the shoes.
Oh, I could have told you. You could have go upstairs, get your shoes on.
No, it's not polite. Japanese ancestry doesn't allow me to do it.
My shoes are on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but it's your house.
Yeah, Dan's shoes is on.
Yeah, I know, but he's an asshole.
Yep.
No.
Also, they're hiking boots.
Dan is furthest from an asshole.
There's a thousand different responses to that, and I'm going to say none of them.
No, Dan helped me out yesterday. It was awesome.
Well, I meant like what's furthest from an asshole? Like, geologically speaking, it's the top of your head, but like metaphorically speaking, like what defines an asshole?
What defines an asshole?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just welcome to episode 200 and Mumble Mumble of Crippled 69. Mumble.
69.
Now's a good time.
It's funny because it's a rotational palindrome.
That's it. Now is a good time to fulfill my promise to my wife.
Why'd you do that?
Because I was allowed to take that with me and put it on the table if I threw it at your head.
Oh.
Or Andy's head.
So what is this?
So we were up at the Dells and
toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is my contribution to the table. But we were up at the Dells and playing the arcade games that give you the tickets, and we had to spend the tickets on something. So
interesting. But if you if you have it, you know, like properly placed, you can't see.
That's
the
not
text.
True. Rotate it. Yes. You'll note that if you have it properly placed, you can see the text.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I know. That was my point.
Yeah, I know.
We had this discussion while you were still upstairs.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
We noted that due to the rotational identical nature of a toilet paper roll, the roll in a vacuum does not have a correct or incorrect way to put it. It is when you twist it.
I will agree with people that say the top-down way, that is the proper way to put down a toilet paper roll. Also, but it is the wrong way to put it if you have cats.
So, A, no, it's always the right way to put it. You just have asshole cats.
Yeah.
That is a redundant statement.
Right. So the fact that there are cats that are assholes doesn't change the fact that the correct way to put toilet paper is top draped over. And that's provably true, not just an opinion, because the goddamn patent has pictures demonstrating how to hang toilet paper.
Could they just be a suggestion?
No.
That is how the patent works.
So I put a couple new things up on the table.
Yeah, you put the coin in the middle.
I realize, so up in my room, I've got totes and totes of miniatures and shit.
Yeah.
And on the very bottom of all the stack of all the totes is the one tote that has all my coins and shit in there. So, and I didn't want to touch it.
Hmm.
So that's why that doesn't have a coin in it. That's an old War Machine Weekend trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one predates me playing.
I think I have one of those. Why would I have one of those?
I think...
Brian get some extras and use them for a six-pack or something?
I think so.
Because I didn't... I mean, I've placed at War Machine Weekend events, but there were different trophies at that time. Yeah, eat your damn cheeseburger.
Yep. Speaking of which, don't you have a Warfare Weekend event to pimp?
Warfare Weekend. Hey, we're still ironing out the details. Jay just finally figured out what the rules that I'd mentioned 17 times meant after he talked about it on his podcast. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting hearing them explain that. I'm like, that... No.
I need to listen to how they explained it, because my guess is they explained it very wrong.
Oh, well, I guess we're not the only podcast that doesn't just spout out misinformation.
Yeah. So we are going to do a Twilight Imperium tournament at Warfare Weekend this year is the current plan, which will be exciting because that game is amazing and everybody loves it when they play it. Even people who thought they'd hate it love it when they play it because it has a bad rap that isn't true. But, yeah, so what we're going to do is take a cue from the diplomacy tournament at Gen Con. So the basic gist is we would set up a standard suite of six races, and we would have an arbitrary number of games, probably like two rounds a day on Friday and Saturday, so four total rounds of any number of games during those rounds. And after those four rounds are over, we would look and see of those six races. So let's say it was like the starting six, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got Jolnar, Sardaukor, Federation of Sol, and so on. So we'd look back over all those games and said, what is the single best performance in any game by the Federation of Sol? It was such and such person who ended the game with eight victory points. Well, then that person...
On turn X.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there'd be tie breaks, but we just look and find the single best performance by any one of the six races, and that player gets into the final game. Then we take the next race and look across. What was the single best finish by the Sardaukor? Oh, it was this person who got three victory points because the Sardaukor fucking suck. That person gets in by nature of being the best performance with a Sardaukor. And you do that with the six races, and those are your six finalists. And then from there, they'll play a standard game with all 17 races available to them like normal. But that way, it isn't just, instead of just having like rounds where, you know, you maybe just play six games and the winners of those six games play a game of Twilight Imperium, this is just kind of a fun, different way of doing it that gets around A, any asymmetry between races, and B, you don't have to devote your whole weekend to playing Twilight Imperium by having, like, if you had, like, a running tally of your VPs across four games, that means you're doing nothing that whole weekend, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to come and play one game on Friday morning, and if you think you did well enough to get in on when we tabulate Saturday night, perfect. Play the one game and go about your weekend. If you don't think you did particularly well, play in one of the other rounds. You know, you can play up to four times, and it doesn't hurt you to play more, but if you, you know, if you win with Sardaukor, spoiler alert, you're going to be the best Sardaukor performance. You can relax and enjoy the rest of your Friday and Saturday.
Finish paying off the other five people at the table.
Yeah. Also, most conventions, I would say the average amount of sleep is probably 6 hours.
Sure.
So you can spend four of those hours. People can get by on 2 hours of sleep at a convention.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I did. Spend four of those hours in two games of Twilight Imperium last War Machine weekend and played a bunch of War Machine.
Yeah. In four of those hours, those could be for another Twilight Imperium round.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, with people, so yes, Chad asking, can you play as different factions? Yes, because it isn't what is the best Federation of Sol player, right? And you look at someone who played nothing but Federation of Sol each round. That's not how it works. Each individual game, you'll just play an independent game of Twilight Imperium with whatever race you happen to play at that game.
Are they random?
Yeah, they'd probably be random. Or the standard way you would do it is at that table, you would like have a dice off, and the high roller would pick one, and you would draft around the table, whatever. And so I know that's not right. I know that's not how Jay explained it at all, but this is right. Jay explained it wrong. Hopefully he'll re-explain it correctly. Now that I've clarified, we will see. I didn't hear how he explained it, but...
There were two standout points for me. One was Trevor realizing you were running it and that he might not be allowed in.
He's allowed in. Trevor and I disagree on some political points, and Facebook is a very political place for me, and so Trevor and I are not Facebook friends anymore. But I have talked to him. He was at ATC. Him and I chatted about stuff. Mm-hmm. Trevor is well allowed in there.
It's like Two-Face.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm not saying like Trevor or you, or it's like Two-Face, but basically there's the Facebook side and then there is personal side.
Sure.
And we as human beings can always get along personal side, but Facebook with that anonymity and, you know, we can
fight. Nathan, I don't hide my opinions, and on Facebook, I don't hide my opinions. And
so,
yeah.
Nathan, which side of the Two-Face is your passport picture?
Oh, my Lord, it is a horrific thing. But no, so like, what did
Scary
they have?
Face.
So the other question is, are people who have not played Twilight Imperium before?
We would like a working knowledge of Twilight Imperium. You're not going to, when you sit down, the game is going to start. No one's going to explain the rules to you. Like, the rules are available for free online. Learn how to play. I mean, this isn't Babby's first Twilight Imperium.
You got fucking 9 months.
You got 9 months to read the rules and learn how to play.
Eight.
8 months. All right.
I will bring it to Adepticon this coming weekend. Play a game with me and learn there. But no, this is not Babby's first Twilight Imperium. Okay. In fact, if you want to come and during the first round on Friday, there could even be like a table for learning, right? Off on the side where people can play or whatnot. But
yeah, that was, I think, the other like important thing they brought up was just how is that going to work? But...
No, you need to know how to play the damn game. Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know if I can play.
You've won Twilight Imperium. I have played against you in games you have won.
No.
That is true. That is 100%
true.
Yes, the tables are standardized across all the qualifier games. The six races will be the same across all the qualifying games. It'll be an arbitrary number of identical games of Twilight Imperium. The only difference...
Same map in that, too?
Yeah, same map and everything. The only thing I haven't decided is if starting race position will be the same on the maps. To keep it the same... So I'm torn. Either A, we want the games as identical as possible, or B, home system placement is a skilled choice of the player and thus should be accounted into that player's performance. I haven't picked which of those two statements
given
is
that it's
true.
A standardized map, I think we can get away with that being a skill.
Yeah.
If you do the build a map, then sometimes you just get screwed.
Not build a map. Right. Yep. So yeah. I think I'm leaning that way where the map will be identical. That's 100% certain that the map will be standardized. The
Thank
six
God.
Races will be standardized. But when you draft and pick your race, it'll probably be take your race, pick a spot, you know, or take the races and then reverse direction, pick a spot. We'll figure it out. It'll be posted.
That actually
ahead of
probably
the time.
Would be a best way to do it.
But yeah.
That way Sonic Noir gets his best in the spot they need.
And it won't necessarily be the starting six races. So even though we've talked about Federation of Soul and Sonic Noir and Jolnar and stuff, we could pick any six. I might look through. There's a great thread on Board Game Geek where they have just been amalgamating
results.
Yeah, is it amalgamating?
Yeah, amalgam- that's good enough.
Amalgamate all the results from all these people, and they get like this graph that shows how well things do. And it is slanted a bit because the starting six races obviously get a lot more games than the other ones because people play them their first time. But there's a lot of really interesting middle of the pack races, like Arbok, for example, my favorite race.
The pirates.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. So we might just pare down to those and take out the outliers like Jolnar and Sardak Nor. But on the other hand, does it matter? Like, if you're the best Jolnar player, you're the best Jolnar player, right?
Or
but
if you're the best at understanding that allying with Jolnar is the best way to get the highest for your race.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think my victories count because most of the time when you guys mention the races, it just glosses over.
You were playing the turtles.
You played your race, and you played them fine.
Yep. Okay.
I think you played the turtles twice, and yeah, you played the turtles twice. The first time you played them incredibly badly, and it went very badly for you, and that was your first game of TI as well, so you were learning in general. And by badly, I mean you played them not to that race's strengths, right? Mm-hmm. If that had been Andy playing a different race in the exact same way, it probably worked out better for you. But by the end of the game, you're like, oh, I should have been doing X the whole time.
Yeah.
And you obviously were correct in learning that because you played them again a future game and you did win with them.
That was also super sneaky, too.
Like turtles, you're like, oh, playing X's, buy all the PDSs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That game of Adepticon when I had like 9 PDSs, including the capital ship, and they all fired like 2 spaces out with 17 dice. It was just glorious.
You mean the point where we're like, you're going to win, and there's nothing any of us can do to stop you.
It's like, you're welcome to try. Murder, 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 murder.
Well, at one point, we're like, all right, if the four of us gang up on you, you still win.
Yes. The race is turtles. I turtled. You can't say I didn't play to fluff.
My phone buzzed. Sorry.
How dare you, sir? Mm-hmm. But yes, so we're still hammering out the details, but that's the general idea. So it's exciting.
It is exciting. Thrilled.
Yeah.
Then next year we'll have to do this with Dune.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, once they reprint it.
We could set up our own game day.
Yeah.
I mean, like an actual convention.
Yeah, I will.
Nothing but
Twilight. I'll run a board game room at Warfare Weekend and have. There's all kinds of fucking tournaments I can run.
We could have a Dungeon Quest tournament. That's probably like one of my favorite tournaments that I've ever participated in. I see somebody win in. So
the one where they had a rope?
Yeah, Brian Geezy. So if any of you play Dungeon Quest, it's basically the idea is you kind of go through a random dungeon, get to the center of the dungeon where there's a dragon, and then basically play Russian roulette with the dragon to get treasure, and then try to leave the dungeon before the sun goes down. Watch Brian walk 3 rooms into the dungeon, find a piece of rope, and then walk out.
That's the most valuable thing a survivor had.
Yeah, and then everybody else died inside the dungeon. That's a game that technically shouldn't be run as a tournament, but I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of games that shouldn't be run as a tournament. That
Like Warhammer.
The King of New York.
What?
King of New York. I think, actually, the King
No, that
the
one
King
I think is
fine.
Fine.
I haven't played King of New York. I only played King of Tokyo with the expansion.
I haven't played King either. I misquoted. I meant to say King of Tokyo.
Like I said, it could be worse. It could be like a Munchkin tournament.
That could go all weekend.
Yeah.
And here we are in the first round, day 64.
Yeah, that's like a cricket tournament.
I'd rather play cricket.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll at least get tired. Munchkin, correct. You can sleep.
And also, you have a weapon.
Yes.
eventually, for the time that, yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if I was playing a Munchkin tournament, the self-loathing would count as a weapon.
Yeah.
I would bring a cricket back to a Munchkin tournament.
God.
Like, I just remember that one time that we had the game over at Pegasus when we had like the like board game day, and there was a guy who brought every expansion for Munchkin, had it all sitting on his table. It actually looked pretty impressive, but then I don't think like anybody showed up at his table for the entire time that we were there. We finished like four games before I think like anybody showed up at his table.
Just fucking no.
Stay in the basement where you belong.
I'm happy that it exists because John Kovalik gets a paycheck, and John Kovalik is from Madison, so I mean I'm happy about that at least. But it's
a terrible game.
Yeah.
Like you could be happy to exist for many meta reasons, but it is a terrible goddamn game.
Well, and it's a fixably terrible game, which is worse.
Yep.
Like, just put a time limit on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because like we talked about this, I think last week, how like Dune is by all like true, just pure board game definitions, not a great game.
That is true.
But I wouldn't want to change anything about that goddamn game.
Right.
Munchkin, I want to change several things.
Correct.
Non-Lucidi and Nick's comments in the chat is pretty good.
Yeah.
So he had said that Cricket has breaks for lunch and tea. And Munchkin just has breaks for being insufferable.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, here's 10 minutes, be insufferable, and then back into the game.
I need to walk away, because otherwise someone will die.
The last game of Munchkin I played, and I mean that, not the most recent, game of Munchkin I will ever have played.
Is it the robots game?
No, that's not Munchkin. That was Cogs and Commissars. It was talking about robots in disguise.
Yeah, that was legally distinct Munchkin.
Yes. But anyway, the last time I will ever play Munchkin, and that I have ever played Munchkin, was my brother and I both desperately trying to throw the game to one of his two kids, like hour 37, and the one we would try to throw it to wouldn't realize it, but the other one would realize it and stop us, and then it went back and forth. It's like, please, just one of you win. Oh, fucking A. The Munchkin CCG isn't Munchkin, though, so apparently it's a better game.
Okay.
But like it has the Munchkin theme.
It's still labeled it, though.
Yeah, it has the Munchkin theme, but it's not the same game.
And
so
besides,
Andy,
wasn't that like your one redeeming quality of Munchkin was that the theme is tied to someone from town?
What?
So having a game that isn't Munchkin but still gives John Kovalik money.
Oh yeah,
isn't that like your perfect Munchkin game?
Yeah. I've heard that it's actually reasonably good.
But it's a CCG.
Yep. It is.
I mean, if it was just like a growing card game, kind of like the Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be fine, but not a collectible card game.
Agreed.
That has problems in itself.
When it fails and ceases to exist, I could see like cubing it, right? I could see doing a Munchkin CCG cube.
What's a cube? I don't understand.
A cube is a self-contained thing that people do with like magic or whatever, where you will have a box, oftentimes cubicle shaped, hence the term, where you have
finite
that cube always contains those cards. And then when your buddies come over, you draft and do a magic tournament with those cards.
Oh, so that's what Foster. I saw Charles Foster was doing something. That's where I heard the
difference. It's a way that basically have a magic board game.
Yeah. The difference is Charlie's insane, so he's trying to get a cube of foils.
But yeah, so the cube allows you to have a self contained game, you know, where you and your buddies can just say, this is what we're doing.
Oh.
It's kind of similar to me talking about buying like five or six Keyforge decks and just throwing them in a shoebox and pretending that the game doesn't exist outside of, hey, let's play this thing.
Keyforge is fine.
Yeah.
It's better than Artifact.
It's fine. That's why I signed Nathan up for the Keyforge tournament.
Artifact.
Oh, poor Artifact.
Hey, speaking of poor video games, are you so excited for The Outer Lands being an Epic Store exclusive?
Yeah, because I don't give a shit, because who cares? I don't understand the entitled bitchiness of people. It's so some games I own, I double click on the Steam icon and then I play the game. Some games I own, I double click on the GOG icon and then I play the games. Now some games I own, I'll double click on the Epic Games icon and then I'll play the game. Who fucking cares?
I kind of like having everything in one library, but it's not that big of a deal, but I mean, you have the giant that's Steam, and then more likely Epic Games is going to be around for a while, but I could see other companies possibly going under, and then you lose that library.
No, because it's only exclusive for 1 year, and then it's on Steam anyway. It's not even like it's forever exclusive. It's the same, like, I don't shit my pants and get angry when the newest Mario game can't be played on my PlayStation 4. I understand that I have to play it with a different method. These fucking PC gamers are so entitled that they don't want to double-click an icon that's an inch below the one they're already double-clicking. In fact, you can put a shortcut to any game on your desktop and skip the entire fact that it's Steam or Epic anyway. You're just clicking the icon for your game.
Thank you for redeeming this fishing expedition.
God, like, yes. Like, the only reason I could see it all being upset is there are people saying that Epic has much looser privacy settings on theirs versus Steam.
Yeah,
but I mean, it also has fewer rape simulators and white supremacy murder simulators, so I'll grant it that.
Don't worry. The Epic client was stealing all your Steam info, so give them time. They'll start reaching out to those.
So
companies.
Sure.
The good thing about any type of system that has a distribution like Epic Games is now they can actually have an overview of games that are put onto their launcher now, as compared to like Steam, is that they're trying to regulate it now. And that's already after the fact. It's already after the dam has been broken. Water has already gone through everywhere. And we get shit like the rape scene. I don't even remember the name of the game. But
Rape Day.
Yes.
It's literally just called Rape Day.
Yeah.
And it's just a day in the life of a sociopath, and you just rape a woman for a day.
Yeah. It's.
Thanks, Steam.
Well, that's no longer on Steam, at least, but that's not after like a ton of people.
Right when they found out, they fought it.
Yeah.
Come on, Steam.
It's
speaking of cringy gaming things,
Bloodlines 2.
Yeah, no, well, the rest of the
Chechnya.
Yeah. So when the 5th edition Vampire the Masquerade stuff came out, there was a very badly written and awkward all the problems in Chechnya are from a vampire.
Sure.
Thing, which was doubly disappointing because the original thing was written by someone who was trying to make it look, you know, in a completely different light to try and like bring light to those events, and then they the people at White Wolf edited it down to like this weird mix of first and third person that completely changed the story.
Sure.
So, and then all the books got pulled and
that just made it look like they were just making fun of Chechnya.
Correct.
You know, kind of like those 80s movies and stuff that'll just talk about Detroit and make fun of Detroit being this terrible place, like in Kentucky Fried Movie where the guy's being tortured and he doesn't mind. And then they say, we're going to take you to Detroit, and immediately caves and confesses everything. But you know, about poor Chechnya
or New Detroit.
Sure.
Well, and I mean, it's been a long-standing thing for the World of Darkness stuff that they've always tried to say, like, the worst of humanity is humanity. Like, the Nazis, they were all humans. They weren't vampires. They weren't werewolves. Those were humans.
I mean, a couple must have been, just by percentages.
Correct, but, like,
just
you know,
a random Wehrmacht.
Correct, but it wasn't just, you know, all of humanity.
It wasn't that Hitler was a vampire and was doing this because he was a vampire.
Correct, which is
what...
I can't
do my flight missions during this time of the month. You just imagine
he's menstruating?
No. As they're flying to do a bombing run, the full moon is out, and you turn into a werewolf in the middle of a plane.
Sure.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Depends. I mean, werewolves can still do it.
Yeah. Well, some of them.
Some of them, yeah.
I mean, the correct
thing are they werewolves?
Well, I mean, the correct thing to do with any White Wolf property is to not read too much into the lore, because once you get too far down to the surface, everything gets weird. And usually not good weird, but just weird.
That's kind of the reason why I really don't like modern day role playing games. I need that fantasy or sci-fi element to take me out of reality. I just can't put werewolves into today.
The part of D&D that's going to get me kicked out of D&D is all the thought experiments I do when things come up in D&D, like polymorph spell, turn something into an animal. Well, no, so like. Ignoring the
there are massive consent issues with whatever you're about to say.
Well, first of all, yes. Why would you ever buy a male chattel when you can buy all females and then polymorph a male member of your group to impregnate all of them? That's cheaper and more efficient.
Wait, what? A chattel?
Yeah, like any kind of be they cows or sheep or any animal. There'd be no reason to pay for a male version. Like, you don't need to buy a prize bull. Just buy a bunch of cows and then polymorph Sven, and let Sven take care of that issue for you, right?
Okay.
And that's more efficient than buying nine heifers and a bull. It's less efficient than buying 10 heifers.
Does that to say that polymorph affects the DNA of said thing?
I
it is an open question because most reasonable gamers, like...
Well, ignoring that aspect of it, ignoring the where you went meta, to, because that wasn't going to be my first part.
Because most of the time when you kill the thing that's polymorph, it reverts back to its original self.
And at the end of the spell, it reverts. Correct. But did the stuff that left it body change back? So could I polymorph into a bird so that my friends would have infinite arrows for infinite feathers for fletching arrows? And actually, it was Druid Wild Shape. The question came up because we found a group of druids in a very hostile area that were trying to rebuild their civilization. And I was like, well, try using Wild Shape. But no, like, infinite arrows for fletching, right? Just Wild Shape into a bird and pluck some feathers and then, you know, do again. You need poison? Wild Shape into a snake. Milk the venom glands.
I can see it. I can see it because it's part of technically whatever body that you had. I could see it reverting back to whatever it is. So then, like, sure, as you would polymorph, as you the spell would end, you'd turn back to human or whatever hairs? Race it was. No, just hairs or maybe just like little like chunks of your skin. So on the back of the arrows, it's just like skin.
Well, feathers would just be hair.
Yeah.
But so that's the question. Does it revert or not? Right?
I would think it would.
Well, and then we had...
I think we need Marshall to solve this for us.
We had a mule, and we polymorphed it into a giant crab, and then it was still scared and confused because it was a mule, and so it didn't know what to do, so Brian was saying what it did, and it pooped in fear, and I was like, well, was that mule poop or crab poop? Like, does the spell know to change digested food inside your body? And if it does, would it change undigested food?
Yeah,
if so, how will that mess with an animal that hasn't processed food yet?
Mess a carnivore does it change?
Carnivore and herbivore, or something like something that's like lactose intolerant. If you eat something that you're not lactose intolerant and then polymorph into something that is or is allergic to a particular kind of food,
Suddenly,
the food stay in its normal thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
You still go into anaphylactic shock if it's already cleared the throat.
Yeah, like I'm allergic to peanuts, but that squirrel that I was polymorphed into isn't. So I could turn into a squirrel, eat a bunch of peanuts, and... For the hour I'm a squirrel,
You could do that as an assassination attempt on somebody.
Turn someone into a squirrel and feed them peanuts?
Yeah.
It's a very convoluted way to assassinate somebody.
I mean, if you're going to do that, just go full on Siegel and Alka-Seltzer. But
yeah.
That's about as good as taking
We're
a rifle.
We're getting Alka-Seltzer in D&D.
I mean, we've already gone down the realm of weird chemistry.
Yeah. That's like taking a rifle, attaching a laser pointer to it, and having it shoot a sound at something. That'll attract raptors.
And I looked for a goddamn Jeremy Crawford answer. I couldn't find one. I just found debates with sociopaths like me discussing this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of my previous campaigns that I've had with Brian and company is we had somebody that turned into, just for the fun of it, turned into a black dragon while he was on a horse.
That's not good for the horse. It's
definitely not good for the horse.
No, did you revivify the horse?
No, we did not.
We revivified our mule.
Our that person was...
Fuck this shit, I'm not carrying it.
He just liked to turn into things, but he would never tell the party what he was turning into. And so there was like a fight sequence where I was fighting a bunch of things, and then the wizard behind me, I heard a loud bang, and I turn around, there's a giant purple worm behind me, and my wizard friend is no longer there, so I assume...
That the purple worm ate your wizard.
Purple worm ate my wizard, so I started attacking it. And he's like, no, what are you doing? I turned it... No, I like... My character in game does not know this. Yeah, I... Yeah.
I'm saying, a bunch of druids, they have infinite milk, right? Or would the human have to be currently lactating in order to be lactating in cow form?
Does it change the sex that you turn into when you polymorph?
And
does it matter about the sex? Yeah. Could you as a male be impregnated if you polymorph into a female?
Well, and then what happens, because you only polymorph for an hour, right?
Yeah. Could you continue the polymorph?
Actually, well, true polymorph, which is a level 9 spell, lasts permanently or until dispelled. So if you true polymorph something and then unpolymorph them 6 months into a pregnancy,
yeah,
does the fetus turn into... So if I'm naturally human and I get true polymorphed into being a goat and then impregnated as a goat... And then let's say goats gestate 9 months just like humans do. I don't know how long goats gestate. But 6 months later, I'm definitely pregnant with a goat, right? Because a goat impregnated a goat. But if you dispel the polymorph and I go back to human, am I now a human pregnant with a goat? Or does it, as a side effect of the dispel, cast a secondary polymorph on my goat fetus to turn it into a human fetus? In which case, now a goat impregnated a human and made a human fetus. or a satyr. All right, Jim wins. That's where you get satyrs. I mean, true polymorph gets really weird because I could turn a I could turn a table into a goat. I could turn a table into a person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because true polymorph, you don't have to start with a living creature. You can start with an inanimate object and go, Shazam, you're a dwarf.
As long as it's a lower level.
Yeah. Well, dwarfs are lower level than a table.
Correct. In multiple ways.
I'm just saying, these are the things that I ask while we're trying to fight monsters.
I see why you guys have a high kill count.
There's groups like, they call it role-playing a long rest, because they just assume this is what we do the whole night while we're camping, is that I just keep bringing this shit up, and they're all like, shut up and go to sleep. I just want to know.
We got Adepticon coming.
We do, this coming weekend. I will be there Thursday evening, Dan.
Sometime Wednesday.
Sometime Wednesday. Andy, are you going down Wednesday as well?
I could possibly make it down Thursday evening.
Is that why, Danny? Okay. You didn't ask the follow-up question, so I wasn't sure.
What was the follow-up question?
Well, earlier today, you asked me when I was going, and I was like, yeah. I'm going Thursday evening, and then you didn't say anything, and I'm like, there's a follow-up question. So
I mean, we could possibly ride down together, but then you'd have to wait for me on Sunday for Guild Ball to be done.
That, you know, you'd have to find a second person to drive you back for Sunday evening.
Yeah.
So. I have to leave early Sunday.
Yeah. I assumed.
But I will be there late Thursday. Well, not that late, because Adepticon's not that far away. I'll be there at like 7:30, and then I'll be there all day Friday and Saturday, and then I'll be leaving early Sunday. I'm going to bring my Mon Pok with me for casual pickup games. They will be painted by then.
I will not have Mon Pok with me painted.
I mean, mine's currently assembled. Not painted. I'm going to put the primer on them tonight, and then the weekend's for painting.
You mean the week?
The week. That's what I meant. The
weekend.
Week.
It's like, yes.
Well, primer will dry fast enough. I can put the first coat on tonight. Because as with my Convergence, the main base coat of these are going to be spray paint. Mm-hmm. And given that it's Martians, like it's 99% the base coat and then just highlighting like the glowing sections.
Yeah, it's... If you had an airbrush, that would be ridiculously fast.
The paint I bought comes in airbrush, but I didn't go the airbrush method because I don't have airbrush, so I just bought actual spray paint cans.
Sure. Because that would be just the green glow done just across that those parts. You could you can just overspray too, and it wouldn't even matter. Yeah. And then go over it with like a little whiter green.
I taught Andy the Zen that is speed painting with an airbrush yesterday.
And actually, my base coat spray paint does have at least three colors, so technically I don't need to put any additional coloration on there. They have the minimum three colors just by spray painting them.
Oh, you got the color shift?
Yeah.
Style? Yeah.
It's a five-color color shift. So, of course, I'd want to seal them because that works by having the little fragments of pigment on there, and so that would rub off badly.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not like you're moving your models, whatever.
Yeah.
You're just gonna be like, look like at
I'm
it.
Constantly grabbing them.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I broke a leg.
I do need to figure out. They're all flying saucers. They got nothing.
I thought one of them was a little spindly. Like,
oh, yeah, the Deimos. Tripod.
Yeah.
Deimos. Nah, he's got his noodle arms, too. I do need to figure out how to make an elite look different. I guess just draw the little colored star on the base.
You could do that. I mean, there's I've sticker. Seen people just doing a completely different color. So,
but I know you're using
the color shift, but you could go over highlights of being like just one primary color or something like that, like across like an edge of something.
Gold sticker on the base.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You have like create yourself a little whiteboard that'll be right next to it, and then have like a gold sticker on it.
What? I'm confused. No, my spray paint is not Citadel.
So Privateer is actually going to have a couple things over at Adepticon for early release, and this is, I think, the first time we'll ever talk about something like this. For all the times that we've had talked about events, we've never talked about what they've had in their store.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to know that they sent out a
it's
newsletter.
It's all the April and May releases.
Sure.
Yeah.
Such as?
Such as, well, Kovnik Apprentice Krakatov.
Yep. Nah.
We'll be there. Monster Apocalypse pre-releases will be only at the show. Will be the Tokyo Triumph, the Imperial State Building, Kraken Octus.
AKA Better Deimos 9.
Yeah. Hammerclack Corphysic?
I don't think Hammerclack's rules have leaked yet, right? Crack and Octus's stuff is online, but Hammerclack, apart from the rules you can glean from his...
the previous form.
Well, you have the previous form, and you also have, they do the little summary, like the one-paragraph summary for retailers.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The blurb, that's what I'm looking for. The retail blurb that talked about some stuff, but yeah. Oh, yeah, at least get Bart hats. That work. Little UFOs with Bart hats on them.
You still got some of those from the time.
I do.
So the other thing you could do, too, is so we found out that the witches, the sisters.
Yeah, but that's not in the parts store.
Yeah, but we could work it out somehow. Mm-hmm. There's a witch hat that you can get for the sisters, so you can put that on things, too. I mean, Bart hats are pretty awesome. But a witch hat is pretty good, too.
See, I mean, also... now they know people want hats, so they have the witch hats. They have...
Long chops.
Long chops. His hat.
And Kossite hats, too. Yeah. So the Grey Lord Forge Seer has got... In fact, that was the last remaining part of my order from spending on my privateer points.
Yeah.
Or my PG points was getting a bunch of Kossite hats.
Nice.
So I can put that onto everything. All my Cthulhu things should have Kossite hats.
Sure.
And they're going to just be painted red. Instead of green? No, it's probably not going to be that way.
I mean, I can see Cthulhu coming up in Russia.
Yeah. That's that alternate what-if story that they had. It's like a Red Sun.
Yes.
With the Russian Superman.
And the Statue of Liberty. So the only thing that I really...
Oh, I do definitely need to get that Statue of Liberty. That building looks very good to have in any list.
I haven't actually seen...
It basically allows you to use the same action more than once in a round across your list.
Oh, that seems good.
Yeah, I don't think it lets one model do it, but like if I have two saucers, they could each abduct, whereas normally each action is limited to once per turn, regardless of how many things you have with it. So that could be huge. Like in a Martian thing, I'm just imagining abduct. Think about multiple teleports in a Shadow Sun list. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think about Shadow Sun lists because I just don't like them.
Well, you should think about how to play against them.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
Fuck man. Those guys.
Oh, it's like, man.
Curl up in corner, cry.
I thought you said Carl Urban Corner. I don't have a Carl Urban Corner yet. I mean, I'm building the shrine.
Where do you keep your Carl Urban?
It's my shrine is being built. I mean, okay. It's... and then for War Machine and Hordes?
The Grimkin stuff.
There's actually a lot more Steelhead stuff, but there's a lot of Grimkin stuff. So there's Steelhead Cannon Crew, Steelhead Mortar Crew, Steelhead Volley Gun Crew, Baron Tunglick, which is a model I have to own because he looks so fucking awesome. I don't even play Grimkin, but he is an amazing looking model. Melody Man, Naslayer Warhorse, which I think that's just a unit upgrade to the Naslayers, right?
Yep.
Scallywag. That's character, Jack.
Yep.
Character Jack.
Shay's Jack.
Steelhead, Ironhead, Powder Monkey, Swabber, Underchief Meyer, which was already out at.
It was already pre-released. Yeah.
This is the retail release for Meyer.
Oh, so it doesn't have all the cool pins and all that shit?
Correct.
Piggyback Officer,
price,
which
so.
Dan has to buy two of them before.
Yep.
Before and get them painted before his event starts.
Oh, I also need two Malady Men and Tunglick.
And a
so you're going to be in line real early.
It's going to be real bad.
Yeah,
I do. I did check, and I can submit a list that I do not currently have the models for, as long as I do not play said models or, in one case, that list until said models have been acquired.
Just hopefully, you're not behind what's his face buying $17,000 worth of ninja stuff like happened at War Machine Weekend.
Andrew Durso.
Yeah, hopefully, you're not behind Durso. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, Privateer has really let up on their one per person. In recent years.
Well, I think they got burned by a convention where they had the ship stuff back, and they're like, we're not doing this again.
Yeah.
Like, we want it to sell. We don't care who buys it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to make sure you get it, wake up earlier. Line.
Yeah. I mean, no other company does
somebody
that.
Somebody like, oh, come on, Durso. I mean, I get that he made bank because he oh, my Lord, people paid him too much for that.
I saw a guy who's ninjaing for Adepticon and is just like 20% extra.
Sure.
And I'm like, I get it.
Yep. And the Grave Ghoul. What's the Grave Ghoul?
It is another Grimkin model. He's got a shovel. He makes enemies reroll stuff when he collects corpses.
Hmm.
He's got a POW 13.
I did not
shovel.
Pay attention
yeah,
to
he's
the...
got an aura of spend a corpse to force a reroll.
God, Tongue Look just looks so fucking good. Man, that sounded weird.
Somebody make a thing that's like War Room, but for Mon Pok, so I don't have to have cards.
There's a website. There's a War Room builder. Oh,
that's
thing.
A list builder. He's just
and it has the stats, but it doesn't let me track damage and stuff like that. I want this as opposed to the 17 square feet of cards when you have 10 different buildings and 7 different models and 2 different monsters. You have this fucking giant blanket of cards.
That's it. You're like me. You just use War Room, so now I've forgotten the pain of playing like a full card game.
Yeah. See, I still like playing with cards, but yeah, no, I can see that being.
The sheer square footage required to have all those damn cards on the table is insane.
I'm wondering if, David probably could do it.
I'm sure he could. Somebody do it. If it's David, good. If it's not, also good. I just won't do it myself. Partially because I'm lazy and also because I have no idea how to do those things. I'm not a computer nerd.
So I can give you this link for Tinkerhouse.
Let me talk to somebody. I think I know somebody who might be able to do that. Because he's been bugging Ben Lang about helping out with the Guild Ball manager.
Sure.
So I could probably unleash him onto Mon Pok. Maybe get him to play Mon Pok with you, too. I'm not going to play. Eventually, I'll play.
No, you won't.
You have an event coming up, too, for it.
Yeah, well, I'll be having an event coming up soon. It'll probably be free, even. I think I'll just eat the cost of the... It's only like $20 for the kit.
Just throw a fiver, and then whoever... You get paid back for your kit, and then whatever's left goes to the store.
It depends. Well, I mean, we go towards prize support, right? Yeah. So I have to decide whether people would rather come to a free event or come to a $5 event.
Are you going to run a kind support. Of a demo slash event type thing? Where you could just do that. You could just run it as a demo slash thing, and then just raffle off the whoever comes to the demo days for whatever the prize is.
It's the Privateer Press headquarters building, which is an alternate
butt plug?
Corporate. Headquarters. I mean, you could use it as a butt plug. It's not flared. It wouldn't be a very good butt plug because it wouldn't go in because it has the wider base.
Yeah.
But because it's not flared, it would probably just shoot right out.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have that taper flare where your sphincter can really grab on behind it like a good butt plug.
Not only that, that resin would not do kind things down there.
Well, no. And yeah.
And it's a little sharp too. And yeah.
I say,
it has like those hooks on the side where the pirate hat hooks down.
Yeah, I say, and very crisp detail.
Yeah, and all those little windows would probably fill.
We just got our demonetized.
Oh, no. And that was 7 cents
As I once again remind you, we have to have monetized.
Oh, shit. I forgot to hit the button again this week.
Yeah.
Because I've forgotten to hit the button since we started broadcasting.
Like, we have to have money before they can take our money away.
Correct. Yeah.
This is how we play the system.
I'm just going to be
one of the memes on my Facebook group where it was like, you know, the thief is like, your money or your life. And it's like, bold assumption that I have money or want to live.
Like the apocryphal story. You know, the guys break in and steal the guy's stuff. And they're like, damn, kid, you don't have anything. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to go rob someone else to get you a couch.
Yes.
I, unfortunately, you might be mad at me, but probably not. But I delisted following from that group. Right after I joined, so I'm still in that group. But the weird part is, though, sometimes even if you're not following a group, you still get notifications when other people, friends of yours, post in that group
anyway.
Because
you're being notified about that friend, not correct. About the group. Right. Yeah.
I have not seen anything from there, so I'm don't know if I'm actually in the group anymore.
I think you are. I don't know.
I thought I was, but I just didn't. Yeah.
You're assuming Nathan's providing active moderation towards this group?
No, every once in a while it asks if somebody, it's like somebody needs approval to get in, and I just say yes.
Yeah.
We haven't got any bots. No. We did get somebody got fucking burned because somebody posted like a link to their like a rap song.
Okay.
Right? They're like, check out my work, blah, 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 blah. And someone's like, oh, great, we got our first bot. And he's like, I'm not a bot. I just wanted to share my art with the world. And somebody was like, well, I'm glad you shared it here because your music made me want to kill myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Did he leave soon after?
I believe so. Or at least there were no follow-up posts in his big check out my mixtape thread.
You could see, though, if he left the group because he had
obviously I can check, but I didn't bother checking. I just laughed and liked that response because it was beautiful.
I mean, that is the spirit of that group.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You should change the name of the group to Lord of the Feast. That finally got changed back.
It did. It did. In a week, I hope somebody changes it again.
I mean, they got 26 more days.
Oh, it was 4 weeks now. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. The point is, just alternate back and forth. Good times. Great oldies. But yeah, Adepticon, you're running Who's the Boss, and that's that.
No, I'm running Who's the Boss on Saturday. For the first time ever, I actually have everything ready to go before the event.
Ooh.
One of the first, well, it's been before, but I mean, like, I'll have all my miniatures packed up, like, Tuesday night.
Nice.
Instead of
painting on Thursday.
2 hours before I have to leave, I've got all my miniatures strewn about in my living room going, all right, so I've got Karchev and I've got Sorsha, I've got, you know, I will have everything packed up before then, which is pretty awesome. And then on Sunday, I'm running, for the first time, it's kind of a beta test, Build-A-Guild, which is a Guild Ball event, which is a highly modified snake draft. And it has elements of old school Blood Bowl in it. I have the whole thing is random. So instead of, you know, you have a guild, you build a guild off of the wheel randomly.
Sure.
So you go up and say, I'm going to spin for my captain. And wherever it ends, the closest captain is your captain.
Sure.
And spin for your mascot and the rest of the squaddies. So the first round, it will take a while because that's you have to go through six times per person. There's a max of 16 people. So it'll take a while, but once everything gets rolling, then it's just normal Guild Ball from there. And it's already sold out, which is pretty cool.
So 16 times 6, so 96 if it takes 30 seconds per spin.
That's
you're looking at 48 minutes of spinning for the first round.
And that's kind of how well, it'll probably go by a lot quicker than that.
Yeah,
but
if it's 15 seconds a spin, then it's only 24 minutes. And also the first two people can start setting up and playing, you know, as long as you spin in the pairs.
Yep. With the... yeah, and that's only the first round. And then
if you had all the cards... It would almost be, it's less impressive than the thing, but if somebody wanted to run this event without the big wheel, they could easily just have decks and say, here's the captain deck, here's the, you know.
And just randomly give a person, you know, like, I want a captain, so you just get one of these. Yeah. You
take a captain.
Yep, and it's the only reason I have it on a wheel is because it looks more impressive. And
Because you have a wheel. That sound
that it has, and then the anticipation of watching it go until it, you know, if it's bankrupt is right there, it's coming, you see it coming, and you're like,
and it clicks over, and you're like, sweet, I got John Cena.
What's bankrupt in Build-A-Guild?
I don't know yet. That's why it's kind of
you beta. Better figure it out in the next six next, days. Next
6 days. Nope, it's no, I don't know if we're going to actually have like a bankrupt. I mean, it could be where we just end up with a team.
Oh,
of
a veteran called Captain Salt. There you go.
No, veteran. He's already on the wheel. Mm-hmm. Or she. I think Salt is a she. From
I do not remember what that otter identifies as.
But yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing with bankruptcy, but I'm going to have like free spins and stuff like that.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Somebody asked me for Who's the Boss. I'm also going to be trying to modify the Crippled System website to actually include the rules of Who's the Boss and Build a Guild and all my CID cards I build for...
We have a website?
We do.
Do we still have a forum?
Yeah. Do we still have a forum?
The forum is still there. It's locked down, though. Nobody else can join it.
Yeah.
But importantly, it still has your signature from Jordan's post.
Yeah.
From like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's still there.
Where he can fight three, but the one in the back will be cramped.
Yes.
Wait, what? I don't.
Yes. And also, it probably still has the MS Paint artwork I did in response to a few of the Russian spam bots.
They might be. I actually went through and cleaned up all the Russian spam bots.
Oh, but there was one that was great because I drew artwork of what it said because it was such random gibberish. And so I drew like it was like a robot with a hang in there baby cat poster behind it because it talked about like work hard and blah, blah, blah. I spent minutes on that picture. Minutes, I tell you.
Yeah, I know our forum is still there, but yes. Like I said, it's locked down.
I wonder if I have the...
If you still have your password to log into it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, our forum is pretty much useless. We should make an actual Crippled System group. I've been making trying to make a lot more posts to get folks seeing our page.
Yeah. Right.
Did you see the recent one with Christian Bale gains 450,000 pounds
to play Shia Lude? Oh, that Dune movie is going to be great or terrible, in which case it'll be super great.
You
don't have a subtle failure with
you know
star
that
power
you are
5% like this.
Of the total posts on Crippled System Forum.
Do what?
I am 5% of the total posts.
How do you know that?
Because I'm looking at his profile looking for the art.
Nice.
Oh, you logged into Nathan's profile?
No, he's just... Oh, well, yeah. He logged into his profile.
I'm not
going to
show
profile.
Nathan I have that password.
Whatever. I don't remember it. It's probably... I was going to say what it probably is because that's my password for everything. So I probably shouldn't say it out loud on a podcast that at least 3 people listen to. Yeah, there's 3 in chat. What else we got to talk about? We got Adepticon coming up. Good times. We got Andy remembering something and going to his phone all excitedly.
Well, I'll say, Andy, how was your first taste of like speed painting?
I was not fast. So during the time period that Dan did just about all the models, I did 3, maybe? And then that was just the airbrushing part, though, because I think I only did I only did Siege, I think.
And Iona.
Oh, and Anime. Yep. So I did those 4, and then Dan did basically 2 units of piggybacks. All the rest of the who's the boss models, like it was all the Signer. Well, it was Maddox and Carissa.
I think it was 7 casters, 2 units of piggybacks, 2 the Twilight Sisters, and 2 Clockatrice and 2 Glomerims.
Yeah,
yeah. And I
and
did
he's
four.
Not a fast painter.
It was quicker than what I've done before.
Sure. Because you didn't paint it next year.
Correct. And it wasn't. It's not painted up to my standard. Like I found myself when I was even speed painting Siege afterwards, that I was still taking way too long.
Sure,
because well, I want it to be really looking nice when it's done. But
I hear you.
For here, it's good enough for Adepticon standards.
See? The best quote of all time.
I think we were talking about my car.
No, we were talking about his car.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. It was supposed to be I can fit 3.
But the one in the back will be a little uncomfortable. But he said fight. Good times.
So I was just looking up one thing here quick. I'm trying to vamp as I'm going through it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
I can get on my phone and then all 3 of us can be looking at electronic devices instead of talking on our podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. That's what the silence clipper is for.
Sure.
I haven't actually been doing that.
Oh,
I haven't
my
been
Lord.
Running that, so.
Oh, well, then there's been some sad people the last few weeks.
Keith and I went and saw The Favorite on War Machine week day this week. Wednesday is War Machine Day, and so I showed up and the
Warm Hearts Day?
The cheap theater. No, it's War Machine Day. The cheap theater behind the mall. I was like, Keith, I'm going to go see a movie. You want to come with? He said, okay. So we went and saw that instead of playing War Machine. I went and saw The Favorite, and it was okay. I enjoyed all of it, and then the last scene was the most batshit crazy thing I've seen outside of a David Lynch film and confused and upset me. And then the movie was over.
So tell me about How the Rabbit's
Moved. It's got Nicholas Holt in it, so, you know.
He was baller as hell in that movie.
He's well, as we discussed it, because you guys came back like at 9 o'clock in time for us to sit there and have a roundabout discussion. I wish I recorded, because then I could just release that as a pain train.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as we talked about it, Nicholas Holt's fucking amazing everything.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's one of those young pretty boys that actually has way more acting chops than you would think when you first see him as a young pretty boy. That's why
But he isn't known as being a pretty boy. Exactly.
He was originally. Really? He was originally. His first several movies, he was Mr. Pretty Boy.
But he's not like a DiCaprio pretty boy. I don't think I've heard really many people, you know, well, of course, I'm not that age anymore, but talk about how, you know, he's like a big sex symbol as like what Leonardo DiCaprio was.
Right.
And we know now that DiCaprio actually has acting chops behind his.
I mean, he fought a bear and got an Oscar.
Yeah. We got raped by a bear and got an Oscar.
Now, that is a nasty thing to say about what's his name.
I assume that that was a Harvey Weinstein
Thank
joke.
You.
No.
Jesus. No.
I did not.
But no, because like it's early stuff. Because we even saw him in a romantic comedy. We saw him in that Warm Bodies movie.
I didn't even realize it was that was him.
Yeah.
Warm Bodies is so good too.
Oh, Bert Kreischer's thing about fighting a bear.
Yeah.
Marshmallow.
I just watched that the other night.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. That special's on Netflix. Yep. Right? The Machine. Yeah, talk about wrestling a bear. He is great.
I would love to see a like a DVD release or Blu-ray release of Hurt Burt. I would love to see that as because I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
It's got to be out there somewhere.
Did you find what you were looking up?
Oh, yeah. No, so I wanted to...
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, no. The main thing is I wanted to thank Nick Hulsman. He's lending us some models for Who's the Boss, which is basically all the Crucible Guard casters.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, because otherwise our painting regiments
yesterday... I would still be painting McKay.
Yeah.
Well, there's only five of those casters.
One of them is a goddamn tank.
Yeah. Whatever. Spray paint brown.
Also that tank itself, because I
would still be waiting for Andy to finish building the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a better point.
Man, that thing could have easily been one giant chunk of resin, and it seems like it's just put in their parts just to make you feel like you had a good time building the model is what it feels like.
I don't know why she isn't just an add-on kit. Like, they should sell her for, like, $10
yeah.
as an add-on kit and just buy that separate. The fact, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Yeah. I'm sure there's logic somewhere in their supply chain as for why they did it. Maybe they didn't want people to be able to magnetize.
No, I think it's because from a distribution perspective, like, distributors didn't like the upgrade jack kits. Because
they would actually sit on the shelf for a pretty long time. Like, I think Pegasus still has a ton of those.
No, because they finally jackets. Went through, re-inventoried all the War Machine stuff and sent, like, half of it back to ACD or Privateer.
Oh, I thought I saw... Yeah, sure.
But I don't get... I mean, if I need to buy a McKay,
mm-hmm.
I'm either buying that upgrade thing or and a Rayless Interceptor, or I'm buying McKay as both in a box. Like, what's the difference?
Because I think...
You know, either way, they need a box that says McKay on the outside.
Correct, but by it being a $125 item instead of a $10 item, stores are more appropriately scaling how much they should be purchasing for pre-stock.
Sure.
Otherwise, you end up with the thing where someone buys five upgrade kits again, and then four of them sit on the shelf.
Yeah, well, that's...
They're protecting them from themselves.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Hulsman is also lending us a bunch of Grimkin as well.
Thank you, Nick.
Which is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is awesome.
Dustin
Wengert is lending us a Scar 3, which again, very Thanks, similar Dustin. To McKay. I just didn't.
That's what actually broke him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Scar 3, it's a beautiful model, but man, that's going to require so much hot water. And also McKay as well is going to need so much hot water in order to bend all that resin back into place so it can actually fit properly. And then pray to God that my car doesn't get above 60 degrees.
Or below 20.
When I'm carrying those models.
I don't understand. If you have too many McKay, retailers are left holding the models. I mean, if a retailer orders too many McKays, either as an upgrade kit or as an individual thing, in either case, they're left holding a McKay. It's just whether you want them stuck with a $150 item or stuck with a $10 item. I understand Dan's point that it being more expensive prevents them from over-ordering. I get that. But in a world where the retailers order as much as they should, it is more efficient to have it be an upgrade kit.
Like, I agree with you on that statement, however... You know, humanity is dumb, therefore let us
that's a big
put guardrails.
And that's how our local store has like six Prosperos sitting on the shelf right now.
Anyway, sad thing I was going to say a while ago is Nicholas Holt, as far as the pretty boy with surprisingly good acting chops, is similar to why I always bemoan the loss of Anton Yelchin.
Because
that kid was going to be a fucking Oscar winner.
Yeah. Yeah. And
talk about a freak accident, too.
Yes.
It does actually still give me weird shivers when I think about how that happened to him. Because for those out there that don't know, he was killed by his own car.
Yep, he put parking brake on, walked down to check the mail, and the parking brake said, "I'm not going to be on anymore." And then his car crushed him.
Yep. Slowly.
What are the frickin'... Yeah. Oh, well.
Ugh.
Shit happens. Life's weird. You could have an aneurysm anytime. Live it up.
Yep. Yep.
Fight a bear. Get an Oscar.
I don't think he's got a bear. Oh, yeah, okay. Burt Kirshner. I don't think he got an Oscar.
Burt Kirshner did not get an Oscar, no. That might not be the bear fighter I was talking about. Schmucko.
Big bear. Big bear, chase me.
Marshmallow!
No, I was thinking of John Candy
from
The Great Outdoors.
So was I. No, he's like, there's nothing left but marshmallow. Isn't that how the line goes?
No.
Okay.
All right, what else we got?
I don't know.
There's questions and stuff in the chat.
Bring forth the gym question.
And stuff in the thing. Yeah, there was one up top. He asked, oh, yeah.
Which race?
I remember now. What?
That one I know. Which race? Fantasy race would you want to mess with?
I mean,
our listeners can't read the question. That's why I just say which race did it.
Okay. All right.
The full wording on this is important.
Okay. Who's going to read it, though?
How would you change a fantasy race stereotype, like how all dwarves are Scottish? I read it.
Yep.
It has been.
Who has to answer it, then?
I think we're all supposed to have do it. That's how Zappity Grumbles work in general. Is we either all answer it, or we all agree that we can't think of our answers right now, so we'll discuss it in depth next episode, and then we don't. Those are our two options.
So,
and we do that second option to 90% of the questions that Jim asks.
Hey, speaking of which, just go get the whiteboard.
I got the whiteboard.
It's in his car.
What? It's in my car.
Go get it.
What?
I don't have a whiteboard. But the thing is, I've got a
green screen.
I've got no markers for the whiteboard, so it's sure, just no good.
Our audio listeners won't believe us anyways, but our video listeners will not believe us unless you actually show the whiteboard.
No, we don't need
to. Why do we have a whiteboard?
Because you asked for a whiteboard like 6 months ago.
I have a whiteboard at home.
Yeah, you just never brought it.
Yeah.
So I got moved to a new cube at work, and I had my own personal whiteboard that was on the side of my cube. And the new cube I got to has even a bigger whiteboard, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm taking my other one home.
That's theft.
No, it was my whiteboard. I bought it.
It's theft, though.
I didn't steal it from anybody.
From yourself.
No.
Yeah, Work Andy was robbed by Home Andy.
I mean, that happens a lot.
Work Andy got a whiteboard that fills up the entire side of his cube. And so Work Andy took old whiteboard home.
Okay. Jim, you go back and listen to all of our podcasts and find all the questions of yours that we never answered. You tabulate all of them, and we'll have an episode where we answer every single one, I promise.
It'll be fine. The last person to do that, it broke him and he moved to Canada. But remember when Pip was going through and tried to listen to our whole backlog?
He moved to Canada?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, what about that?
What? Who moved to Canada?
Remember our good old listener Pip who tried to catalog all of our recommendations?
Yeah.
And then he went insane? And then he moved to Canada.
Oh.
I didn't know he moved to Canada.
I think he moved to Canada.
He posted random. He was going to come to Wisconsin because he thought that Actually was a documentary, so he would just get super laid if he came to Wisconsin.
Probably. Still, he still has a British accent. Yeah. That'll get you.
Anyway, I've always wondered, this isn't necessarily a stereotype thing, but maybe it is, but, like, do orcs have, like, you know, kindergartens and poetry and, like, you know, they pick daffodils when they're not out there raising human settlements to the ground?
So you're wanting to know what about orcish culture?
Yeah, like...
You know, did they have,
is there
like...
a Bob Ross of orcdom? You know, do they appreciate those things?
All I could see this is... everything that you're mentioning here is in my mind being played as just a fantasy parody movie, you know, like The Naked Gun.
Sure.
It was just like an orc with just a standard orc with the pointy ears and the beady eyes.
I'm going to let you,
with an afro painting a picture.
I'm going to let you finish, but why aren't we funding this?
Yeah. Well, because you look at the frickin', like, Warcraft's done a good job at that, but look at, like, the ones from the Lord of the Rings movies, where they all look, like, half-melted and shit, which makes sense, because they're corrupted elves by Morgoth, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, like, they can't just, like, gibber angrily 24-7, right? Like, they gotta have card games and dance moves and weddings.
Like, again, my mind immediately goes to the family orc who comes home from work, hangs up his club, sits at the front of the table with his little spectacles on, reading the paper and wondering where dinner is.
Yeah.
But basically, my mind went to 50s.
Well, sure. And then the wife orc is like, you know, oh, I made some meal. I was like, oh, honey, come on. Just give me a minute. Like,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap. You know I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar to the Rick and Morty episode with Scary Terry.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah. It's an entire race of Scary Terrys. That's what it would boil down to, is a race of Scary Terrys. That's what I want to see. That or just sociopathic non-feminine elves, but that's what the Scoia'tael are in the Witcher universe, so we've already kind of gotten that. But yeah, I want Scary Terry, the entire orc race.
I don't know if I can say it. If it would actually, I'd like to see a change of dwarves.
Yeah.
To be all cholos.
Instead of Scottish?
It's Scottish.
They're all Mexican.
Yeah.
Like, instead of coming from Moria, they're like from the Bowery?
Yeah.
Barrio.
Barrio, rather. Yeah, not the Barrio. That was the wrong one. But yeah, the Barrio.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're just changing nationality is basically what we would do for the dwarves.
You're just, all dwarves have an accent, and you're just going from Scottish to Hispanic.
That role writers make sense.
Oh. And instead of having... And instead of having like the big Scottish beards, they'd have like the pencil line on the edge of the jawline and everything.
Like, this might actually work.
See, now you're just describing Bright, is what you're doing.
Bright is actually, I haven't seen Bright.
It's not good.
I heard it's not that bad.
Oh, you know people who lie to you.
Okay.
It could have been salvaged. But man, you have to change a lot to salvage it.
Sure. So it doesn't have that much of cyberpunk to it. Isn't that what it's? Or
no,
is it
it's
just more
current
just straight?
Day. It's straight current day.
Oh,
it's current day, but replace races with races.
Yeah, it's legally distinct Shadowrun.
It's legally distinct because it's current day.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't even get the cool cyberpunk aspect Shadowrun. It's what you hate, which is current day fantasy. So nothing makes sense. It's ham-handed. Replace races with races, and so that's why you get stuff like Will Smith saying "fairy lives don't matter" after he kills a fairy, literally a quote from the film. But then you get weird shit like he references Shrek. He calls an orc in that thing a Shrek-looking motherfucker, which means that somebody in this universe that has actual ogres and orcs and dwarves and elves in it still made Shrek? What? Like,
it's Greenface. It's fine.
Well, sure. Like, why would there be Shrek in this world?
Yeah, it doesn't
make
sense.
This is like how Watchmen, there's no superhero comic books in the Watchmen mythos because there wouldn't be because superheroes are real. So all the comic books are pirates.
Or like how
Bright didn't put that effort into the world building.
Or like how in the Cars universe, World War II happened.
Yeah, there's a Hitler car. Like,
wait.
World War II happened in the Cars universe.
Wait, which Cars? Was this Cars 3?
There is a Jeep in the Cars movies that talks about fighting in WW2.
Correct.
Which means there was a car Hitler.
I say it comes up even more if the planes tie in the stuff, because one of the main characters literally fought in the Battle of Midway.
Well, planes is different than,
no.
than Cars. No. Planes is Disney. Cars is Pixar.
Right. Planes is the Disney spinoff
of
the Cars movies, but they are set in canonically set in the same universe. So
I think I liked Cars 2, though, so I don't care what anybody says.
Which is weird, because like I don't know anyone who actually admits they like Cars 2.
Cars 2 is
Cars
great.
Cars 2 is terrible.
Cars 2 is better than the first one, because
it's just random gibbery.
I like Cars 2 more than Cars 1.
It is not Will Smith's first line. It is arguably Will Smith's first scene. Like he's getting himself a bowl of cereal, and his wife says some stuff, and he might mumble one or two things, and then he wanders out onto his front lawn and murders a sapient creature, and then,
that's also an absolute poor taste as well. The lives matter. Bringing that up in anything is because you have such.
But he's a cop. His character's a cop, and so he murders a fairy and says fairy lives don't matter. It's deep and symbolic, except no, it's not. You can't have it both ways, Bright. Either you're making racial commentary or you're making a harmless joke in your film. You can't do both.
Yeah, I can see
that. Also, you're shit at both of them.
I can see that they would be arguing. It's like, oh, but it's just about a fantasy creature. It's a fairy.
Or make it an important aspect of the character where he understands this. Never comes up again. It's just he murders a fairy and makes a quip.
Also, I mean, don't you also have the double hit from it being a fairy?
Yeah. But they try... Yeah. It's really bad. And even ignoring all that shit, it's just badly written and badly done and badly... Nothing makes sense. Everything's terrible. Badly... Everythinged.
Badly.
Yeah. The word badly can't be said enough when describing Bright. Like, all the execution just makes no sense. Character motivations make no sense. The editing makes no sense. The scenes don't flow into each other. It's just random badness from start to finish. Hmm. You could dissect that film for an entire semester in film school. Darkest Hour and Dunkirk take place in the same world canonically? Well, sure.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what...
They take place in our world canonically. Fucking Cars. Cars 2
is great.
I didn't see
Cars. The other problem with Cars is there are, like, children cars.
Hmm? Well, Cars is... That's all stupid... That's just all Cars things. Cars 2...
No.
That script and replace it with other characters, and it would actually work as a movie.
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
That's what's bad about the Cars movies, to me, is that instead of... If you look at WALL-E or Monsters, Inc. or Toy Story or any other Pixar film, Bug's Life, I'll continue to list random Pixar films and then say every Pixar film and then redundantly list another Pixar film.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to the plot that these characters are the thing they are. Also, they exist in our world, and that's an important aspect of the story. Cars, they took a story about a track and field runner and made everything into cars to sell toys, and none of it makes a damn lick of sense. Where are the humans? How does this work? How do they fucking shit out baby cars? Where does that come from? Why was there a car Hitler? Yeah. None of this makes any damn sense. Why do they have doors? There's no people. Why do they have doors? What the fuck? Why are they cars?
But the dumb hick one... Eats pistachio.
He does
pudding,
eat the
pistachio
wasabi.
Ice cream.
None of it makes any fucking sense. God, it's so bad.
And it's the most profitable toy line of all time.
Is it?
Yes.
No, it can't be overall more profitable than shit like Barbie and He-Man.
Well, He-Man's...
Barbie's entire lifespan has to be more profitable than Cars has been.
The Cars merchandising thing
has... profitable Disney merchandise line.
It might be Disney, but they've made, $10 billion on Cars merchandise. Like, trust me, as a parent of someone in that demographic, like, that shit gets bought all the time.
Yeah.
Like...
So, do the baby cars suckle on their mother car headlights? Because we know that the car headlights are their titties because there's the scene where they flash their high beams at the guys at, like, spring break or whatever.
No, that was...
Oh, yeah, it wasn't even spring break. It was at, like, the race event. So we know the headlights are their titties.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do they lay eggs?
Do cars grow? Like, let's...
I'm not sure.
Baby cars stuck as babies forever? Were they built as babies and now they're like that forever?
They definitely grow older.
Like, you know.
I mean, because you have a bunch of cars that are older in there. I mean, like, Mater wasn't Mater the entire time. He didn't just get shit out as Mater.
Didn't he,
something,
though?
In the 50s, he was a shiny tow truck.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the flashback.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but that's rusting. That's not aging. So that's more like having a...
rusting and aging might be similar.
No, because rust, like, you can take care of yourself.
Oh, my God.
I just don't...
I don't understand the popularity of that film either.
The Kirk Cameron...
Rapture film? Ugh.
Was it popular? I don't think it was.
I don't think it was.
The thing is, I've seen it everywhere.
So, Nathan,
in
I'm going to...
the TV series.
I'm going to echo non-Euclidean Nick's question. If you were probably morphed into a car and get pregnant, what happened?
A wonderful question. Where are their genitals? How do they fuck? Well, does one of them have to, like, roll over on a ramp? Or is it like a turtle where they just have to, like...
There's something unsightly underneath them because of the lift scene.
Oh yeah. So what about the flip side? What if you get pregnant in your normal form and then get polymorphed and give birth to it? Like, would you give birth to what you're polymorphed into, and then when your polymorph wears off, do they turn back into a human? Or do they stay as what that is? What are the moral repercussions of that?
No idea. Every time you start going and start asking questions to yourself, my mind transforms your voice into Jerry Seinfeld.
How do they... The cars eat. The cars eat. They have food. They fucking eat. Where are their internal organs?
The engine.
And then where do they shit out of? Does it travel down their under
chassis?
Probably
the muffler.
The tailpipe.
And comes
the tailpipe.
No, but that's... Don't they have to breathe out the tailpipe?
No, they breathe through the radiator. Or through the front.
Why do they have engines at all?
So why do you have muscles?
Elon Musk got hit by a car, so there's no electric cars.
No, but were they cars built by humans ever?
That I don't know.
And they were normal cars, and then the rapture happened, and then during the rapture, God said, "Also, what the fuck?"
Cars
and
are
turned
sentient?
All the cars into monsters.
Sentient.
They're monsters.
They're not monsters.
They are abominations of all things.
Bumblebee will have a word with you.
Is the inside of the car filled with organs or no? It's just a car interior? If so, where are the eyes? I know
the eyes are the windshield.
But the windshield is an inch thick piece of glass. Mm-hmm. What's behind that? Or are their eyes only an inch thick?
They're so far advanced.
They just have these flat eyes with no rods or cones or refracting?
You know what? Hold
on.
We're
going to have roll-up TVs eventually.
Here's the thing that's really scary. Is one of our listeners is going to post another wiki blog like the explanation of the My Little Pony universe.
Sure.
And I'm going to hate all of life again.
Because you'll learn about all the semantics of cars.
I have a Facebook group for that, so you're all right.
I know, but I did not need to know about the thinly veiled racism and slavery in My Little Pony.
The fact that there were armed pony guards as they led the sheep off of the ships.
I don't pay
the ponies have guns.
Pony. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is...
it is Animal Farm.
Yes. But, I don't...
Oh, and in answer to the question, I want evil halflings.
Wait, where would the baby car gestate? In the trunk?
In the trunk.
Actually, no.
Maybe?
No,
maybe
no.
The back seat.
Yeah, everyone else.
But then how does it just boot it out the side? It just boots it out a side door?
Yeah, that's why they have a door.
Why do the boy cars have doors?
Why do we have nipples?
I don't have a uterus.
Yeah.
Oh my lord! I need to. There's got to be
maybe the female cars.
I have to get the rule 34 of cars.
Maybe the female cars are four doors.
Nathan,
and then
listen to my sage advice. Do not.
I did see. I did not watch it, but I did see an article talking about the existence of and having a safe for work screenshot from a Lego Movie porno parody, where they're wearing basically refrigerator boxes to get the Lego body going on. It looked amazing. I'm super morbid curious how they fuck. Dean it, Dean it indeed. Arctic Circle.
Oh shit! Oh. He just tried to post a link. The auto sensor got it.
Oh, the spare tire's the egg.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense.
Zappity.
Mater's some kind of twisted necromancer, harvesting corpses.
Air Force Proud has got a new video up. I'm so excited.
Who?
Air Force Proud 95.
Okay.
I'm going to make it my recommendation.
Is that Air Force Proud, but spelled wrong?
No. It's Air Force Proud 95.
Oh, I heard Air Frost Proud and was confused. Air Force Proud.
You've pronounced it differently every time. Keep going.
I know. I heard it differently every time.
I heard it differently every time, too.
It's fair.
Is he proud about the Air Force?
No.
Well, then what the hell?
No, I'll explain.
None of this makes any sense.
I'm trying to look up some things, and I'm trying to pay attention at the same time as you.
Nope, can't let you.
We have Zappity Crumbles.
Plural. Ooh. Zappity.
Well, just one. I pluralized it accidentally.
Dan didn't change a stereotype.
Yeah, I said evil halflings.
Oh, halflings are evil.
I mean, I want outwardly evil halflings, sure. Not just, you know.
I just like the swarms of these nasty little fuckers.
Swarms of like ones that just look like little mini Saurons.
No, I want, like locusts in halfling form.
Sure.
So basically rabbits. God damn it. Give me my Watership Down RPG.
Oh, I thought you said rabbits, like the raving rabbits from Rayman and now from Mario.
No, I was
those
thinking,
things are the goddamn best.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking this rabbits.
Sure. That works too.
The precursor to minions. That's pretty much what they are. And minions are just really just a toned down version of the rabbits.
They're a toned down version of the rabbits that your aunt likes to post to Facebook with random sentences next to a grumpy minion.
Is it Monday already?
And then just a minion.
Banana.
What?
I will say though, I do like the minions though. They're entertaining.
Sure, because they're shitty versions of the rabbits who are the best.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Zappity.
Grumble. Grumble.
I'm going to say this exactly the way that he wrote it, so that way we can misconstrue it and make it into something more entertaining.
Thank you, Jim.
Did you hear that person who submitted this question? Andy thinks that what you meant to ask is stupid and wrong.
Are there any news games you are looking to try out or excited to see?
Oh, are they re-releasing tabloid teasers? That's one of my favorite news games.
I was going to say, like... The Fox News game to try to figure out which is true and which is not.
Well, that's what tabloid teasers was. It's like, oh, okay. It was like balderdash, but instead of like making a fake definition of a word, it was fill in the blank on a like a Weekly World News headline.
Oh, okay.
So like, you know, blank found in cave now being raised as farmers' children, and sure. You have to put in whether it's Bigfoot
the
or aliens or whatever.
Or,
yeah, it was Batboy. Excuse you. Well, Batboy had a great musical.
He may have grown up.
I miss Batboy.
He may have grown up since then.
You
come
can still
on.
Get the musical soundtrack, I'm sure. I wonder if there's any, like, DVDs. Did they ever, like, film a presentation of the musical on stage so that you can get it on, like, DVD?
For Batboy?
Batboy the musical.
Hmm.
I'm going to look it up while you answer.
I miss when the tabloids were, like, outlandish like that. No.
Yeah, now
the world died a little when the Weekly World News stopped being on newsstands.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now we just have the Onion for that. But it's not actual news, though.
Is it?
No.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen it at least three times where, like, we give up. We couldn't come up with this shit anymore.
Hold Me, Batboy is stuck in my head now.
There's... Oh, my God. The amount of news that...
Congratulations, Eddie. You got trolled.
What's that?
That was what Jim asked.
Oh. Any news games? He actually meant news games, not just new games. I'm calling.
You think he's lying?
I think he's lying. I think he's
puppet mastering.
Yeah. Nope. I think he really meant new games because it. Yeah.
Batboy the musical.
I am irrationally disappointed that that's not black and white.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
because I mean, the Weekly World News was always black and white.
It was.
It is sad though when you have titles that are popping up that you expect that would be coming from the Weekly World News, and it's from a legitimate news source.
Hey, Weekly World News was a legitimate news source. How dare you?
I guess that's what the men in black used.
America's number one news source. Yeah. It said so right on the cover. How dare you?
It was also what the Men in Black used to figure out where things were happening. Speaking of Men in Black, that new movie looks like it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
We
will be back down to 50% of the Men in Black movies being good.
Yep. Yep, I like the two-thirds of Men in Black movies.
Right, and so when this one is bad, we'll be down to 50%.
Yeah. It should be MIB 23, though. Because that was an amazing idea. It failed. So this is going to be the second movie that Chris Hemsworth is in. That's kind of like a cheap reboot of the original series. That's going to suck.
I think this is what
Ghostbusters.
How dare you?
You like the new version of Ghostbusters?
It was legitimately hilarious. I laughed out loud for 90% of the film,
really?
Especially everything that Chris Hemsworth did.
Maybe I need to watch it because I...
Did you see it?
No.
It was good.
No, I just... Yeah, I just... I jumped on the bandwagon of hate. Mm-hmm. So
were they right about Captain Marvel?
That's a different bandwagon.
No, it's not.
It was the same bandwagon.
It was the same bandwagon.
Yep.
It was the same bandwagon.
I didn't get the same feeling.
They were less overtly Nazi about that one.
Okay.
Also, I will say the trailer for the new Ghostbusters was really bad. It was a terrible trailer. But the movie's fun. You'd like it. It's funny.
Okay.
It's got an improvisational feel to it, which depending on how much you like that, it might be give or take, but it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I like Captain Marvel, so, I mean...
It's not as good as Captain Marvel, but it's funny.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
Hemsworth is goddamn hilarious in it.
That's what I have heard, that he's good. If nothing else,
it obviously showed his comedic acting chops, and that's what helped allow them to do, like, Thor 3, the way they did Thor 3.
Jeez, we got a couple of zappity grumbles here.
Those are from higher up.
Oh, somebody recaptured him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, aren't they nice?
Our fans pull us through.
So, yes, that's the news games that we're looking forward to.
It's a relaunch of tabloid teasers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Zappity.
Your
opinions on the DC Universe app and its options. So I assume that he's meaning the, or whoever posted the question originally was meaning the new, like, Netflix-style DC Universe. I'm the only show that I'm intrigued for. Their first foray into it with the Titans looked like shit to me.
Yeah.
But man, I am legitimately excited to even try it out for a month once they get all the episodes released, or if they release it like Netflix style of
Doom Patrol.
Fucking A. The fact that we get to see Brandon Fraser finally again is awesome because. I don't care if he's gained weight. I legitimately liked him.
Also, he's just in a robot costume, so it's kind of irrelevant how much weight he's gained.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's been... I miss him. I miss Brendan. And everything for it seems really cool. I don't remember much from Doom Patrol. I remember reading it like 30 years ago when it was, you know...
The great thing about Doom Patrol is fate pointing out that the X-Men are a blatant ripoff of it. Wheelchair-bound man gathers a group of specially powered mutants to fight against the Brotherhood of Evil mutants.
Was that really for that long ago?
Doom Patrol came out before X-Men.
Oh.
And it was a wheelchair-bound guy gathers a bunch of specially powered people to battle against the Brotherhood of Evil.
But then you just slap the word mutants
on the end?
Yeah, Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Totally different than the Brotherhood
totally
of Evil.
Totally different.
And it's
okay.
A totally different wheelchair-bound guy gathering a group to fight against them.
Yeah, this time it's children, though.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, X-Men was children.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, X-Men was more adults for... Yeah.
Not when they gathered them.
Well, he had his... Yeah, that's the thing, because it's the school of gifted young people, and then when they grow up, he's like, into battle with you! There's no moral quandary here.
Hmm. I guess it's almost the same thing as the Umbrella Academy.
Which is monstrous. Like, the whole point of the Umbrella Academy is that the Umbrella Academy was monstrous.
Yeah.
I mean, one could argue that Charles Xavier is the second best example of true of lawful neutral that I can think of, short of Yoda.
Sure. Yeah, no, Doom Patrol. I'll definitely do the...
I'll pay $12 a month or
I'll
whatever
do the free
is.
Trial to yeah. watch all of Doom Patrol.
I'm legitimately excited to see that.
And
it was the first thing that I saw from their app that actually made me go like, huh.
And I care less about DC than Marvel even, so.
I mean.
I will listen to the stories and go,
I guess with the counterpoint for that is the sad thing that Disney is not going to continue any of the old Netflix series.
Yeah, and the final nail in the coffin with the fact that they're auctioning off all of the props.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like that they can't make the props again, but that is a serious investment for a production company is making everything. And then, yeah, they can easily make an Iron Fist again. They just get a bandana, yellow bandana, and strap some eye holes in it. But the Daredevil suit is...
And maybe if they do Iron Fist again, they'll make it not shit.
Yeah.
It'd be a neat take on the character.
Technically, about the only one that's actually more suit-worthy is really, honestly, is Daredevil. I mean, that was just like a regular suit. They could easily reboot that, though, and just make it more, more actual Daredevil
yeah.
rather than a combat suit.
Sure.
I mean, Luke Cage didn't really have that much of a costume.
He has a bullet-ridden hoodie.
Yeah, and Jessica Jones just didn't really have... I mean, I guess they can all go down to Nordstrom's and pick up a new outfit.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess it's not so bad.
I mean, it's not going to happen because they're all done and gone, and Disney's not going to bother making new series for them, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, who knows? It might be something where those actors might come back under a different production.
Zappity.
Zappity. Will the Brewers find more dumb luck this year?
So I have a Brewers story from today, which is that the Milwaukee Brewers posted RHP Alex Wilson has officially been signed to a one-year contract. So that's right-handed pitcher Alex Wilson. But I started the sentence and my brain read it wrong, and I said RIP Alex Wilson. I'm like, oh, no, he died. And apparently I wasn't alone because there were many responses to me on the Milwaukee Brewers Facebook page when I posted that. Ooh, I'm the number one comment in that comment thread. I was definitely not alone. But yeah, no, they'll get to the postseason and then
choke
shit,
early.
Shit. My
it's better than every year that the Brewers
do. Is it a Wisconsin tradition at this point?
My work March Madness bracket. I made my bracket the worst bracket. And I like to do that with fantasy things because then either I ironically win the thing or I fail and I'm like, yeah, told you. But worst bracket, I had the final game as Wisconsin as possible and I had UW versus Marquette. I was very wrong about those two teams making it to the finals.
Or anywhere.
I'm looking forward to being 100% wrong. Like, there's got to be something special about getting every pick wrong.
Well, yeah. That would mean that you know who was going to win.
The first round.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason it's not as good as a perfect bracket, mathematically speaking, is that you only have to have one round, quote-unquote, right.
Yeah. So, Zappity. They're going to do better than what they've done previously that they've done, which is...
So, I mean, better question. Are they going to do... I mean,
farther they'll do as well as last year.
Are they going to do better respectively than the Packers will this year?
Yes.
Well, the Packers have basically just decided we're going to ship everyone out.
Yeah.
Everybody who is actually somebody or something. I mean, Cobb is gone. You got Matthews is gone. Yeah. What I was talking about is basically the Brewers usually always do really good at the beginning of the season.
And
the
then
second,
shit the bed in July.
Yeah. The second after the All-Star break is basically when they're like, oh, we have a second half to the season?
The Brewers treat the season the way the Packers treat each game.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. After halftime, they're like,
yeah.
Ah, fuck it.
We're halfway through. We're doing well. Let's just nap and then lose. Fucking tortoise and the hare every time.
Yeah.
At least McCarthy's gone, so.
Yeah. All right, so Zappity.
Yeah, I saw that.
And somebody posted about a Zappity question is better cat or dog?
Better cat or dog?
Yeah, better cat, better pet. I was trying to read what Dan was showing to there.
So you just said better cat or dog. Better pet, cat versus dog. I mean, the standard thing is that a dog is they're more subservient. Like, a cat is more independent, right?
Yes.
So do you want a roommate or do you want a beloved family member is the stereotypical question.
Do you want somebody who's going to love you no matter what you do or, you know.
Or not.
Or a cat.
Do you want dignity or subservience? I prefer dogs. But I also like cats just fine, except that they're the worst.
Well, for some odd reason, they all decide that they don't like you and want to piss on everything that you own. So Nathan's experience with cats.
And I have had a cat.
At least one of Nathan's dogs hates my existence.
That is true.
And
Kaya barks at Dan like he's the
Kaya
devil.
Hates me.
Kaya loves me.
Yeah, Dan needs to come into the house, like, instead of just picking me up for a trip sometime and just shovel bacon into her mouth for an hour.
I don't think it'll help at this
point.
Him,
I don't think. Yeah.
Like, there is enmity between her and me at this point.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I had a pet cat. I have my great story about the time that, you know, my cat was sick. Remember that great story?
I probably have personally blocked it because it is
my cat, Alfador, because I am a nerd. And so I named him after Magus's cat from Chrono Trigger, was sick and he had like kidney stones or whatever. So I took him to the emergency vet. And I'm like, can you treat my cat?
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, you remember the story now. Should I keep going so the sad story can go onto the internet again?
Yeah, it should go on the internet. So, well, it shouldn't, but it's, I mean... It's,
I did not burn the building down. I'm proud slash disappointed in myself.
So it's no Topper's Pizza.
Yeah, it's no, yeah. So they're like, yeah, yeah, he's super sick, and it would cost, like, you know, $6,000 to, like, you know, take care of him, whatever. And I'm like, I don't have $6,000 in the bank. I'm a poor, you know, whatever the whatever. And, you know, do you have, like, payment plans? Do you have whatever? Payment plans, what I'm going for? Financial assistance. Yeah. Financial assistance. And they're like, oh, no, unfortunately, we don't. I'm like, okay, well, give him back. I'm going to go ahead and take him to a different vet to see if they can take him. They're like, no, he's so sick. And we don't trust you that you're not just going to take him home to die in pain, so we won't give him back. And so they put him down without my permission and then charged me for it. And then when I got angry about the bill, they said, don't worry, we have financial assistance.
Yeah. This is kind of similar thing happened to Jim's cat, too. So Jim's cat had, it was a Manx, so it had butt problems because a Manx doesn't have a tail.
Yeah.
And so they have trouble sometimes getting shit out.
Yeah, like, and there's something with the muscles around, yep, the sphincter. Yeah.
So he ended up bringing in his cat, who was very sick, and they just kind of forgot about him overnight, and he passed away. Passed away at the vet.
Like, yeah, we'll just keep him overnight for observance, and yep, then they didn't observe. They just stuck him in a cage, and yep, everybody thought somebody else was checking.
Yep.
Good times.
Yeah. Suddenly this podcast just went to a whole horrible level.
Yeah.
Well, and I, yeah, the whole thing with Loki, I came back from Lock and Load.
Loki was a million years old. Loki was a wonderful cat, but yeah, he was
15. But I came back and found him in his little cat tower with a bunch of puke, and it was very lethargic. And I literally walked in the house from the airport, and then immediately had to go to the vet.
Sure,
which was not, yeah, I'm sad.
But at least you got to do the thing and make the decision and have it, whatever, yeah, as opposed to somebody
just arbitrarily
murdering your cat and then charging you for the pleasure.
No, yeah. No, Nathan. They decide that you, as a poor retail worker, yeah, were not, you know, worth as much as a human being to make that kind of decision.
Correct. Jesus Christ. Nope, that's definitely true. Good times.
We should put life choices in your hands, poor retail person.
Yeah.
That's why I work in the... No.
No, I know, as a retail person, I was subhuman. I was told that frequently by Robert Durf.
Wow. Yeah, so I don't know. I like cats more. I like dogs. Dogs, I mean,
almost
at least...
any pet has its pluses and minuses as a pet choice. And the cats and dogs get pitted against each other for some reason, because I think it's just the two most popular pets.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
I mean, at least with a cat, though, you could leave for, you know, a day or a weekend.
And I mean, you can do that with a dog; it just won't end well.
Yeah, you will have a house to come back to, but the innards of said house will not be.
One of them is going to shit in your shoes overnight after you're home, sure, to remind you how angry they are. The other one's going to eat those shoes while you're gone,
with, yeah, or without the cat shit.
Yeah, probably with
that would not
with,
stop them
with the cat shit. The dog,
I say,
would
my
eat
cat
them.
Once stuck a live mouse in one of my shoes. Yeah.
Well, it knows how incompetent you are. You've never caught a mouse to eat, so it needs to help.
Yeah. I know. I was another time he dropped the injured mouse on me while I was sleeping.
Yeah. It's like, here, I half killed it for you, you loser. Surely even you can get it from here.
Which, by the way, is not a great way to wake up.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Not when you touch the blanket and it squeaks.
I almost stepped on a dead mouse that my cat left for me when I was taking a shower.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was he in town for a concert or something?
I don't know. Dead mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's a joke because it's a guy. He's shitty.
Yeah. That is a true thing. Yes, he is.
He is a terrible person.
He is a douchebag.
So my left elbow hurts all the time now because one of the things Georgie learned, so like I sleep on my side and I sleep right by the edge of the bed.
Who's Georgie?
My dog, my puppy.
The little one?
The little yappy one that runs on like AA batteries.
Sure. Sure.
Yep, does the backflips. He is one of those.
Just walks around slightly.
Garbage. Anyway.
Remember having the remote control dog that you walk around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I sleep on my side. I sleep very close to the edge of the bed. So oft times like my knees or my elbows or whatever will be hanging off the edge of the bed. So he learned as a puppy that if he rears up on its hind legs and frantically claws at my left elbow as it's hanging off the bed, I will wake up. and then I will like pick him up and set him on the bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now literally every morning that's how I am woken up, is by rapid scratching onto my exposed elbow.
I will keep that in mind for this week.
Yeah.
So you can get him up that way too?
Every fucking morning, just I'll be just sleeping, and right around like, you know, X time in the morning, just raw pain.
Just get some doggy stairs.
He can jump onto the bed. He's fully able to get onto the bed on his own.
Yeah.
But he's decided that in the morning, this will work, and that way he doesn't have to jump. I'll lift him, and he'll just claw at my elbow.
That is an amazingly cat-like dog.
Yes.
Like, I am proud of him.
Yes, this is an assault t-shirt.
And this is fearless, yeah. Or soulless, which is my life.
Nope, I don't have my War Machine Weekend t-shirt on.
Wah, wah.
These are collector's items, though.
Yeah, and they're in great shape.
Mine is not.
And neither is mine. That was the. I do have an old Monpok shirt that I can throw away now that you can rebuy those again.
I got a new Monpok shirt that you can throw away.
The
Don't feed the animals.
Yeah, because I still have one from the original Monpok. So I vote dogs.
I vote cats. I mean, I like dogs, but it's more of the convenience factor. I mean, for my tournament life, it having a dog would just not
I
not
enjoy
be
not having to take a cat out every day. Like, just coming out of, like, going into the summer months, I would be much more okay with it. But, like, the last 3 months, I would have
You
not.
Mean a dog?
A dog, yeah.
You said cat.
You said cat.
I enjoy a cat out every day.
I enjoy not having to take a cat out every day.
Oh, got you. Yes. I mean, nobody takes a cat out every day, but your point is that you're happy that that is a thing that nobody does.
Correct.
Correct.
My favorite thing is when I would try to convince my friends to take Loki outside by himself.
You just toss him in the snow.
No, well, I did do that a couple times, too. But no, because Loki hated outside. And so convinced somebody was, like, holding Loki. Because Loki likes to be held until he's escorted outside. And then he becomes a terror.
Yeah.
He just wants to get inside. And
of
through your
skin.
Shoulder yeah. is the way to get out of
so
it.
So basically it's the scarab scene from The Mummy.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, just shook. And then he just, yeah. It was great.
I just rewatched that, like, last week. It still looks pretty good. Like, for the being, like, 20 years old, the effects hold up pretty well. Also, Benny, still a great character.
Yes. It very well portrayed Sniveling Rat.
Dude, I've always loved a well-portrayed Sniveling Rat. I love Benny. I loved Dr. Smith from the old mm-hmm. Lost in Spaces. Good stuff.
Yep, those are always good. And then the last affidavit is your best Warcraft pet. Of course, I don't know if anybody else can answer this. I've got almost 1,200 pets.
You're asking Andy to choose between his children.
Yeah.
Even though his children are
1,200 pets, though.
Even though his children are numbered at this point.
I have Diablo pets.
Yeah, they're actually pretty cool. You could probably put that in there. It's
okay. I have the Terran battleships from StarCraft.
That one's pretty good.
That follow me around.
I don't think I have
one of
those.
The floating snake is also good.
It was from the StarCraft anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I probably have it.
They have a little chicken that runs around.
There's
a little butcher. He's cute.
There's the Pylon creators, the workers for the StarCraft. That little thing
yeah.
runs around.
Isn't one of those like playable in Heroes of the Storm or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean, assuming anybody still played Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. Probably for my WoW pet. I have actually, the one I've probably played out the most is Egbert, which is he's almost like a ripoff of Sheldon from U.S. Acres.
Sure. That's an egg with legs sticking out the bottom.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was worried about where that was going for a second.
No. And not
Bazinga!
Yeah. No, he's just, except for he's got a goofy looking head that sticks out of it. And he does what I think is the greatest in the game. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that he wanders off.
Sure.
So, like, you're just sitting there, and then he just runs off in a random direction, then runs over here, runs over there, and then runs back.
Sure.
That sounds like a wonderful raid pet.
Well, it doesn't aggro anything. But
dumb people aggro because of it.
Yes. So what is great to do is you use your narcissist mirror onto your pet. What the narcissist mirror does, it makes your pet look like you. And then you use an enlarging cookie on the pet, so it truly looks like you. And then a giant version of you is running off towards the boss for raiding.
And so people think you're about to aggro the boss. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, I've done that many a times. Yeah.
What about an argent grunting when you could put a leash on him? Ha 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 ha.
So
slavery.
You both laughed, argent, so I was also laughing.
Argent Gruntling is it's basically a StarCraft grunt, a human grunt.
Oh, gotcha.
But it's murky. It's a murloc. Yeah. He is adorable. So the cool thing about those two is if you have the Baneling, which is Zergling, and you have Grunty, they'll fight.
Sure.
There's a lot of like goofy pet interactions in the game.
And that is why Heroes of the Storm got shut down, so we could code those.
Oh.
Well, just the professional aspect of Heroes of the Storm, you can still play it casually if you're an idiot who wants to waste your life.
What? What's wrong with... Felix is not an idiot. Felix plays that game still, like, all the time. Of course, I haven't installed it on my computer since... I got a new computer that I can stream stuff off of. I haven't installed it on there. I haven't installed Diablo yet either.
Ooh, announcement. The
Nathan bought a 12th copy of Diablo?
I did not. I'm holding steady at 11. Gwent expansion comes out this week. True story.
Right at Adepticon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll bring my laptop with me.
Are you and Keith going to play in the hotel room again?
Keith doesn't play anymore because with the introduction of orders, the game takes longer, and so he finds it to be too slow.
Jim doesn't like it either.
Instead of a game being 10 minutes, a game is 12 minutes, and that just makes all the difference in the world. Like, it's insane.
Oh, yeah. I was wrong about the Argent Gruntling. They're the Squires. I was thinking of Grunty, the Murloc one. Argent Gruntling is like a little Squire that walks around behind you. He has like the faction flag and stuff. And I didn't know you could put a leash on him.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got 1,200 pets.
There shouldn't be 1,200 pets. Jesus.
Yeah, but I've got, well, yeah.
Like, we could have had Diablo 4, Andy, but instead you have 1,200 pets.
You have phones, don't you? Ooh, also, speaking of you have phones, don't you? Kind of. This week is PAX, and Gearbox has leaked
March 28th.
Hints of games that it will announce there. Something future with, like, robots and stuff. Something with the ampersand. Specifically, very clearly, the ampersand from the Penn & Teller logo. So I don't know if Gearbox is doing a Penn & Teller game. It would be amazing.
It's Borderlands 4, Penn & Teller.
Well, Borderlands 3.
Just Penn & Teller going around. And
No, this is too intense for 3. We have to skip right to 4.
Teller has given us all the voice lines for all the new games. So
one of the leaked things is Borderlands 3. Yeah. Another leaked thing is almost certainly Borderlands 2 for the Switch.
That's going to be easy to do.
Right. I mean. Another one is just robots of some kind, and that one's probably a new thing. And then the other one is an ampersand, but it is literally exactly the ampersand from the Penn & Teller logo, complete with where it's cut off on the bottom and everything.
Could be like a game show type thing or something.
Penn & Teller are responsible for several video games in the past, including Correct. The inimitable Desert Bus.
Was it called Desert Bus or was it like a road trip? Or
no, it's
something.
Desert Bus. Yeah, it's called Desert Bus. It was
where it just slowly drives to the left or drives to the right. I think it is.
The alignment's a little off, so it does indeed pull to the right. But what bus doesn't pull to the right or the left while you're driving it? That's what the driver's for. But yeah, Desert Bus, which was an unreleased game from a multiple game package that was going to come out for the Sega Genesis, I believe, but didn't. Because they were doing it, it was at the height of like the Tipper Gore complaining about violence in video games and stuff, like when Columbine took place. And so they're going to say, fine, you want games with no violence and, you know, this, you're saying games are too realistic? Here's some realistic games. And that's what Desert Bus is the most realistic game ever.
Yeah, because it will take you the amount of time to complete it as it would be to actually drive.
Yep. You drive from L.A. to Vegas in real time.
Actually, it's probably quicker because less traffic.
Sure. Well, it's in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it maxed out at like 33, 34 miles an hour, the bus. Then when you get there, you get a point. And then you drive back, you get a point. And go for the high score. And the best is if you do run off the road, the tow truck comes to get you in real time and then tows you back in real time.
I would love to see a GDC with or GDQ, Games Done Quick,
yeah,
with a speed run of Desert Bus.
Well, they
I'm
do.
I'm sure they've done that
well, before. They don't do the speed run. They do it every year as a fundraiser.
Okay.
They do a Desert Bus-a-thon. Like, they do Desert Bus for, like, 3 days.
Sure.
All they do is take shifts driving that damn bus back and forth as a charity fundraiser. It is an annual thing. Yeah, the speedrun's holding steady at a tie. Like, when you have a game that takes exactly this amount of time to play, there's not much you can do. Does the Desert Bus have genitals?
No. Zavity.
Album title.
What? No, we're not putting genitals in the title of our podcast.
Just censor it, like, you know, artistically.
Yeah, like an orc would.
All right.
Hit that table. Get that facial expression from Andy.
No. All right, so we are up to recommendations.
We are. I got nothing.
I got nothing. I recommended 3 things last week, and I've done nothing since.
Okay. Well, my recommendation is a quick thing that I want to get Dan and Nathan to listen to sometime. If for some odd reason you enjoy planes and you enjoy realism of plane flight,
basically
where you have, you know, somebody who's working as what? That's what a lot of plane simulators do.
Oh, now. That's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he is a guy who is an actual pilot. Who goes off onto Steam Edition version of flight simulators. And most of the time they're trying to be professional, but then you just get stuck with people who are not professional on there. And he deals with them in a professional way that's very entertaining.
Yeah. Because it's not a single-player flight simulator. You can join other people's games, Tower and stuff like that.
So a lot of them he'll play as a tower, so he's, you know, giving people call signs and such to land, give them permission to go to taxi to runway XX, da, da, da. And it's, I don't know, I like listening to it in the background. It's the plane chatter is great, but the plane chatter with idiots is even better.
Sure. Like, there's a guy, he had him, like, open all of his doors and go into a death spiral because he said that would be, like, the correct way to land his plane.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I need you to go ahead and Alt F4 right now.
Oh, yeah, Love, Death, and Robots is supposed to be good. Although, what I was told about Love, Death, and Robots is that everybody hates a couple episodes, but nobody hates the same episodes. So you have to watch every single episode to figure out which episodes you should not have watched.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a good scam.
That sounds like it sounds like a Black Mirror type thing where it's, you know, you're going to love the series except for a couple.
So the good thing about Love, Death, and Robots, it is a Black Mirror style thing, but like every episode is only like, they're short. Like
20
they're,
minutes?
Yeah, or? Not even. Like okay. There's some that are like 10 minutes or fewer. Like they're short little things. So it's not a big deal
then
if,
you, shouldn't
if
even
you sit through one that you hate.
Episodes. Yeah. It's...
Well, I mean, you can have shitty 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But then it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Title of your sex tape.
And then it's over?
Well, it was a shitty 10 minutes and then it's over or something along those lines. I'm saying you're bad at sex.
Yeah.
I'm bad at sex, but my girlfriend ain't. Woo! Like that would be the best possible situation. Was the most recent episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, there's Scully and Hitchcock, which are like the terrible people on that. And one of them's giving sex advice. And he's like, first rule, just lay on your back and do nothing. Women love to do all the work.
I really enjoy Brooklyn Nine-Nine when they go off on them, when they have a more centric episode with Scully and Hitchcock.
They're in the opening credits now, too. They've been promoted. Yeah.
Awesome. I haven't watched it since I went over to NBC.
You should. It's been a decent season.
I feel like I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, you are.
The reason why they're not on Fox.
You have Hulu. Go watch the recent season of...
That requires opening the Hulu app.
Yeah.
That's true.
That fucking thing changes every single time I load it up. Fucking Hulu.
But it's got Brooklyn Nine-Nine on it. It's got Superstore.
I don't watch Superstore either.
Oh no.
You petered out way too quickly on that sell job on that one.
Well, isn't Colton Dunn on that?
I don't know who Colton Dunn is.
He's the guy that's in the Rooster Teeth show, the Rooster Teeth movie.
What?
We haven't watched it yet.
I don't know any Rooster Teeth stuff. It's all garbage.
No, there's a movie they made that's actually halfway decent.
Okay. Is it the Laser Arms?
Yeah, Laser Team.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, more importantly, has Nicole Bloom from Shameless on there, and she's great. And it has Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall.
I don't watch Kids in the Hall either. There's a cat on my head. That's from Kids in the Hall, right?
There's a cat on my head?
There's from a movie.
That's just
it's,
life.
It's one of their movies.
They have one movie.
Yeah.
Brain Candy.
Brain Candy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a cat on my head.
Yeah, it's got Mark McKinney. He's in Superstore. He plays Glenn. He's the store manager.
Does he ruin all your jokes?
He does ruin everything, as store managers tend to do.
Oh, is ShopCo finally closed yet?
It's getting there.
How empty is the store? Is it pretty bad?
Oh, it is not. They keep shipping in new merchandise to sell.
I guess it makes sense, but yeah.
ShopCo doesn't own them, so it's not like ShopCo is selling through all of their stuff. ShopCo sold the stores to a liquidation company who is using those stores as stores to sell shit that they are left over from other companies that they've bought their stuff from.
Oh.
So, for example, like they'd have a bunch of Toys R Us toys that they have in a warehouse that they're shipping into these ShopCos as another chance to sell through.
Oh.
So speaking of which, when does ShopCo's prices get drop to the point where they are like competitive?
Yeah. Because that's the thing is, like, the liquidation store went to full price and then just did everything 20% off. But all that shit would be on sale for half off normally.
Sure,
so their prices went up when they went into liquidation. They're finally back to about that spot they were at before. ShopCo going under is not Trump or Obama's fault. ShopCo going under is Sun Capital's fault.
Yep.
Because turns out when your company is struggling and then a bigger company buys them, they're not there to help you. They are here to raid your coffers and pay off their investors and then leave your corpse to rot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Capitalism.
The sad part is, though, is I've been owned. No, the sad part is I've been paying for Hulu, I think, probably for like the last year, and I've opened the app twice.
There's good stuff on there.
I watch more Netflix than I have Hulu.
Netflix doesn't have Brooklyn Nine-Nine on it.
No, they don't.
And Netflix doesn't have American Gods on it.
I haven't watched it. We were supposed to exchange passcodes for... never mind. Zappity, grumble. All right. Thanks all for watching.
Bye.
We'll be. I think next week we're probably going to take a week off because of Adepticon.
Are we?
Well,
you're staying down there later than I am. I'll be back in Madison. I could podcast. You just won't be here.
Yeah, I might be here. It depends, but yeah, I think it'd probably be easier just to take next week off.
I'm skipping out of town for 4 days after buying my son a kazoo. So like,
that's like a grandparent thing to do. Here's a kazoo. Bye.
Oh, my uncle used to do that to my parents all the time.
I made my wife
tom-toms.
Tom-toms. Yeah. I'm like, I'm buying this for him. You're okay with this? Yes. You remember I'm leaving? Yes. I'm going to pay for this later. Yes.
Yeah, my uncle got me one of those, got me an Uzi. It was before they had the orange tips on them, so it actually looked like an Uzi, but it would fire off little yellow pellets.
It's okay, you're white, so nothing bad happened.
Exactly. But this is also in the 80s, too. So that was cool. And my uncle also got me Dissect an Alien, which was my mom's favorite toy in the world, especially when I got the goo caught in the carpet.
Sure.
That was great as well.
Yeah.
Should look up Dissect an Alien. It's an awesome toy.
That goo was not made to easily... It was not water-soluble, easily come out of carpeting. They did not give a shit when they designed those toys. The Skeletor slime that would pour on He-Man inside the thing.
That is Hordak, yep. Sir. Hordak is a different enemy. Hordak was the villain for She-Ra.
In any case, they pulled that slime straight out of Chernobyl. And
yeah. What are you making that face at me for? You want to go at my MOTU knowledge?
I know Hordak is the She-Ra thing. I feel like there was some Skeletor slime too.
No, the slime pit was all Hordak.
Well, I put my G.I. Joes inside of Skeletor's castle and dumped slime on them.
Well, that was Snake Mountain.
Did it have that, slime?
No. But it had a hand puppet snake. Nathan's trying to prove me wrong, so I guess we're going to keep the episode going here for a little bit.
Skeletor slime pit.
I pray for death. Like, you guys are talking about toys that came out before I was born. I do not care.
Yeah, see, it's got Hordak right there on top of the slime pit.
Yeah.
There's Snake Mountain. See, Snake Mountain Skeletor.
Snake Mountain is Skeletor. It's not Hordak.
Yeah, see, exactly.
No slime pit in there.
Yeah.
I also got into a lot of trouble. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. I remember mixing up two giant bottles of shampoo. It was Head and Shoulders, and then it was some kind of yellow shampoo called like Sun something. And I mixed them together so they made green, and I used that for slime. So I like wasted like $10, $15 with a shampoo just to make slime for my He-Man characters.
But everything was clean.
This morning, Raylene was like doing some cleaning, and she's like, hey, can I mix Lysol with bleach? I'm like, you can if you don't mind dying. Like, you are able to mix those things.
You can mix them once.
Also,
she's like, I wouldn't die right away.
So true. Also, yeah, because that's how, that's
mustard gas.
I mean, it's also how people kill themselves in
yeah,
Japan,
they make mustard gas. Mm-hmm.
Which is a horrible thing to do because you have paramedics who come and try to save you, and then they get
well, people do it on accident all the time, too. Sure. Like not, you know, I know you said Japan, but there's somebody who just died in a trailer park like last year because they dumped a bunch of bleach and ammonia down into their septic tank in their trailer. They're like, this will clean it out. They're in a trailer bathroom that's a foot by a foot and a half with a gallon of each pouring out of the toilet. Oh. Yeah.
Why can I only picture Rick right now?
And his meth lab.
Well, that's how he got his meth lab.
some trailer guy died inside of it.
I mean, seeing the picture, the before pictures, that might have happened.
Holy cow! Was it talking about like there was like a whole section of the house that had like cigarette butts?
I mean, it cost him more money to move the trailer from the Wanakee area to where it is now than he paid for the trailer.
Well, weren't Brian and Jordan like when they were doing some stuff on their house? Like they went to replace the ceiling and they found like syringes and stuff inside the walls.
Yeah,
it's like oh,
not diabetic syringes. It was recreational.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, like I told you, it's Hordak. Skeletor was Snake Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, well, I'm out of things to talk about, and my feet are cold.
You could talk about that.
Oh.
What? The original slime pit belongs to Hordak. The mutant slime pit begins to Skeletor. Well, when did the mutant slime pit come out? Did it come out
it
in the late 80s?
It was probably after.
Nope.
So Nick is doing our research for us right now because there's a lore for wiki slime pits.
Man, we're becoming respectable. We have researchers and someone collated the posts. Soon we're going to have a whiteboard. Like, soon we can do a full-on Glenn Beck rant.
I mean, I definitely could do a Glenn Beck rant. Yeah, but we'd have like this came out in the early 2000s.
We'd have the board and we'd have the
research. Skeletors?
Yeah,
so that was probably part of the reboot.
Yeah,
that was probably somebody who was the designer that said, "I remember this toy from the 80s. It was Skeletor slime pit, so we should redo that."
Right,
and nobody corrected him.
Well, or he was sick of being corrected, so he's like, "Now there's a Skeletor slime pit, fucker."
And Nick,
never doubt me.
All right, thanks guys for watching. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Yeah.
Or come and say hi to us at Adepticon.
Yeah,
we'll apologize in person for you listening to our show.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. I will always apologize for our show in person.
I will always apologize for Andy's show as well.
It's not my show. It's more of your show.
You just said it was your show.
Did I say my show? I didn't mean it.
I meant it.
I didn't mean to take full ownership.
Oh. No, you're fine.
Okay.
You weren't Travising it up.
I wasn't.
No.
No.
You didn't go full Zuckerberg.
No.
I did kick off. Didn't really kick off. We didn't kick off. They just left.
Our moderator team is entirely comprised of people Andy has tried to ban.
Hey.
Oh, Nick's getting a moderating.
I could.
Have you figured out how to ban yet?
I would actually trust to make him a moderator. I could mod his comments. Which one? This one right here, ban user? Is that the one I'm supposed to press? Or timeout user?
Well, you can timeout him for 2 weeks. It won't matter.
No, I'm not going to do that. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you guys next week. No, not next week.
Well, we may see you next week.
Oh, yeah.
You will see us in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What? Well, we could see them.
Maybe.
We can't see them. They don't have cameras.
I can see through our camera. Is that not how it's supposed to work? Is there something wrong with my brain?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Take Cerebro off. Oh, somebody did ask a last somebody a grumble question about Deadpool. We forgot to answer that.
Oh, will Disney keep Ryan Reynolds? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, Disney, above all things, likes money.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, Disney likes money. They'll keep Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is good people.
Yeah. Also, Disney really loves money, and Ryan Reynolds makes money. The rumor I heard as well is that he is about the only thing that's not going to be rebooted, or as in Deadpool is not going to be rebooted once it hits Disney.
Right. Well, so because they need to like see about like pulling the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, which would be great.
I mean, we could almost talk about this for a little bit. I don't care. I guess we're over 2 hours already.
Whatever.
Because we started on time.
I'm stuck in Madison for another hour, so it doesn't matter to me.
Son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, there's
they need to start their next 20-movie arc. By the end of the next 20-movie arc, the big villain of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's not how you say Marvel, big villain of the Marvel Cinematic Universe needs to be Dr. Doom. So they have to sprinkle him in slowly over time. So the first few villains will be other one-offs. Then they can bring in, like, the X-Men, have Magneto be a bad guy, and the end of this arc will be Magneto and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants teaming with everybody else against Dr. Doom. Would be how I would do phase... Is this 47 now?
Yeah, because, I mean, the end of Endgame, there's going to be some intergalactic event that undoes the snap, and that'll bring mutants.
Yep.
Well, or they could also do this, too, is they could introduce Secret Wars. That was another idea that I saw that I kind of agree with. Because Secret Wars is basically, you could have it only be like a two-part movie. Is all it
so,
is just...
So that's
just
your mid-action, or mid-plot climax, or... First climax kind of thing.
Yeah, is it like I believe it's the Beyonder that brings everybody together for Secret Wars?
Sure, but the point is you can do that within the bigger arc, like kind of like the Cap 2, Cap 3 thing, where you have the Winter Soldier Civil War as its own little thing within the bigger thing.
Well, I'm saying that's how they can introduce the X-Men, is they can literally bring them in from a different universe, in a sense, or a different, like a different Earth.
So the bigger question is, when you bring in the X-Men, do you bring in the McAvoy team as is, keeping their plot line, or do you wipe and reset? And if you wipe and reset separately of the X-Men, do you bring in Deadpool as is?
I think
because he'd be aware of the fact that he's in a reboot, which is the weird thing.
That would be amazing. That's actually would be really funny to watch Deadpool 3, him reacting to everything being, it was like not my Wolverine, and then still talk about Hugh Jackman as being a much better Wolverine than whoever the new Wolverine is.
Sure. I need the scene where Deadpool knows that because they're in a PG-13 film, they get one fuck, and he's all excited the whole movie that he's going to say the one time that he's fuck.
Somebody else.
And then the split into, like, he's literally opening his mouth to say it, and then Wolverine just goes, fuck, and just robs him of all of his joy.
Who do you think would be a good Wolverine in the Marvel Universe, though?
I don't know.
Like, all my choices are all
I'll go with Zach Galifianakis.
What?
No. Wow, how dare you, sir? He could pull it off.
He'd be a better Gambit. I hate that character anyway. Ow, Jesus.
Yeah, he doesn't pull punches when he throws plus toilet paper at your head. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to get the size right, Peter Dinklage.
For Gambit?
For Wolverine.
I watched Kevin Smith podcasting where they were talking about like recasting Alpha Flight, and he, basically the person who asked the question basically said is like not have Peter Dinklage be Puck,
sure,
because that'd be pretty much exactly who you would pick as Puck for Alpha Flight. Yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued, but I kind of hope they keep McAvoy and what's his name.
I'm yes. There's like 10 people in those movies.
No, but I mean, I like them both as Magneto and,
oh,
and
sure,
Xavier,
sure.
They're both young enough where they could pull it off for a fairly
Michael Fassbender. He bends fasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you ever have a fass, you need bent. He'll do it for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited if they actually do Doom right as well.
Dune. Fantastic. It's pronounced Dune.
Doom.
Dune.
Doctor.
Dune.
Dune.
Dr. Yui?
Dune.
In Dune?
Dune doesn't
have... Have they Dr. Yui yet?
No, Yui isn't cast yet.
Fucker just cast Fade already.
Yeah.
They're going
to... Fade has to be Bill Skarsgård.
The Thing?
Fade.
Oh. The Thing? No, I think you should go back to Michael Chiklis for The Thing.
For Fade?
Yes.
Michael Chiklis is Fade Rautha. just gut, just drinking a beer.
I will kill you.
My light body, you love it.
That's my Michael Chiklis impression.
Yeah.
I don't know what he sounds like.
Then you can have Skarsgård as Harkonnen.
We already have Skarsgård as Harkonnen. That's the point. Well, we have Stefan Skarsgård as Harkonnen. So we need Stephen Bill Skarsgård as his nephew.
Could we have Alec Baldwin as being Baron Harkonnen with Stephen Baldwin?
If we're going to get a lesser member of a family, I want Randy Quaid in there.
Oh.
Randy Quaid can be Dr. Yui.
I don't even know who that is.
Randy Quaid? He's Dennis Quaid's brother.
I know who that is. I don't know.
Well, then why did you say you didn't know who he was?
I knew who that was. I don't know who the doctor is.
It's Randy Quaid. We just discussed this. Yeah, I was there. Are you having short-term memory problems? I said Randy Quaid would be Dr. Yui.
So welcome to Crippled System, episode 269.
Dear God. We're on 270 by now. Is that all preamble?
It feels like 271.
Yeah, somebody brought up about Quicksilver, too.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have two Quicksilvers now, would you?
Yeah.
You'd be back from zero to one, as far as she's concerned.
Honestly,
that would be an interesting plot point, though.
Because the better Quicksilver lived.
Yeah.
His scenes are better than the other ones, but they're just underused.
Yeah.
I don't know. That timeline that they rebooted with First Class... just slowly and slowly is getting worse.
Well, I didn't see Apocalypse, but First Class I fucking love. Mm-hmm. Days of Future Past had issues.
Yeah, and if you thought that had issues, you should watch it. We should watch Apocalypse together because I think I've seen it, but I don't remember seeing it.
Well, it has Baron Von Ooze in it, right? Ivan Ooze?
Yes, it has Ivan Ooze in it. Yes.
Didn't they change? I think from the trailers for the Phoenix one, they have a different lady for Blue Lady, right?
Yeah.
It's not Jennifer Lawrence anymore.
What? I thought it was her.
The blue lady in the trailer does not look like Jennifer Lawrence.
I think it's Jennifer Lawrence still.
I don't think it is. Also, based on the trailer, I don't think she survives long enough for it to matter.
That's true, too.
We don't want to pay your salary, your cost anymore. So yeah. We are going to kill you off in the first scene.
And we're not even going to have you be you in that first scene. We're gonna hire somebody cheaper to play your character for 5 minutes and then kill him.
Please do not read what Michael Bean did for Alien 3.
Oh, Michael.
So you know what? I did just watch Shaolin Soccer recently, and that movie still stands up.
I actually like Shaolin Soccer better than Kung Fu Hustle, and I love Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
I know the blue is makeup. I think there's a different lady under the makeup, you dork.
Yeah, no, she is in it. Jennifer Lawrence is in it.
Man, that trailer, it does not look like Jennifer Lawrence. It looks like somebody like shorter and skinnier. Maybe it's just that Sansa is 9 feet tall, so it looks like she's shorter.
Yeah.
But that trailer, really, it doesn't look like Jennifer Lawrence. But I guess I was just wrong. I know it was the same person in the previous
movies.
Yeah,
it looks like all the normal cast.
They're not normal, they're mutants. Kung Pao Enter the Fist is surprisingly not as terrible as you would think Kung Pao Enter the Fist is.
Yeah, it really tries very hard to be. It feels like one of the knockoff films. It feels like an epic movie sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Especially like the first scene. I think it starts off weak. But after that, it gets surprisingly good and has some brilliant parts in it. But
what's the one with Dan?
Fogarty?
No, it's Legend of...
Legend of Fuck? I mean, I'm sure there's a movie called The Legend of Fuck, but... I think that's a different film. And I don't know if Dan Castellaneta's in it.
It's French.
Yeah.
It's one with Danny McBride.
Yeah. There's no legend in it.
It's one of his first movies.
Yeah, The Foot Fist Way.
Yes.
But that's not a kung fu movie. That's a movie about a shitty martial arts teacher like in a suburban strip mall.
Yeah. That's
it true. Is really good, though. Foot Fist Way is definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. All right, and that's our discussion about Marvel's acquiring of Fox.
Well, specifically, it's about whether or not they would keep Ryan Reynolds around when they reboot Deadpool.
Yeah.
The thing is, they could either not reboot or reboot, and in either case, they can keep Ryan Reynolds, and his character would be aware of that.
Yep.
Also, they better damn well pay Danny DeVito to record all of his lines for Detective Pikachu so that both versions can be on the Blu-ray.
Did I tell you what they were going to do with Iacho.
Iacho?
Oh God.
From Aladdin.
Oh, Iago.
So, yeah, Iago. Sorry, I pronounced it wrong. But no, I heard a different podcast who was talking, basically complaining about the same thing. As, you know, like Iago like should be voiced, yeah, voiced by, you know,
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried. So he's on Cameo. So you can actually have him, once the movie's out, we would know all the lines. We could pay him in Cameo bucks to have him record the lines, and then we could sub him in. And we could do the same thing with Danny DeVito. I'm sure Danny DeVito's on Cameo. Maybe. I would definitely try to do a Kickstarter so we can get him to do
it. MC Chris isn't on Cameo, but he just posted pricing on his Facebook wall about how you could hire him to do like shout outs and stuff, and it's very reasonable, like Cameo price. So we can legit get an MC Chris written theme song for Crippled System.
True story. Shit, now we need to be monetized. I'll have to keep my mouth shut.
And there's a Kickstarter to digitally erase the rat from the end of The Departed. I did not know that there was a Kickstarter.
There's a rat at the end of Departed?
Like, are you talking about Matt Damon as being a rat? That's the whole plot of the film.
Matt Damon.
That Matt Damon rats out. Or wait, is it Matt Damon or is it... yeah, he's the rat. It's... who's the other guy? The guy who blinds Vietnamese immigrants. Marky Mark. Marky Mark is the cop who kills Matt Damon, right?
I think
there's a Leonardo DiCaprio.
Last time I saw that film was...
Two of those three people are in that movie. One of them is Marky Mark.
Yeah, Marky Mark's in that.
Marky Mark's the cop that doesn't go undercover.
I remember
the one that
him
goes
walking
undercover, Matt Damon or Leonardo DiCaprio?
I don't remember who goes undercover. I remember it was Marky Mark walking out with his booties, the little shoe protecting thingies.
Oh, the literal rat on the balcony is for sure.
Oh, all right.
I'd back a Kickstarter to change the last scene of The Favorite.
So tell me about the rabbits.
I'll tell you about the rabbits, George, but it would be another hour on this episode, so no.
We haven't beat our record, though. So, hey, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We'll see if you show up at Adepticon. Come and say hi. Oh, you fucker. I can't find my mouse.
It was digitally erased by a Kickstarter.
Damn it! Oh, I just went to stop streaming immediately.
You're still recording.
Yeah, that's a different mouse. That is not yet, but digitally erased.